The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. It's a deep burn. So deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Sky rockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
What?
What, Andy?
I was just gesturing. It was kind of an off-air thing, but they're on the game field? Did they clear that, or was it tarps?
Yeah. No, the game field they cleared.
Okay.
The
practice
there's
field
a lot
looks,
of snow out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Practice
at all
field looks like it had some tarp on it.
Well, that has, yeah, the big one.
But it was
the,
covered.
The inflated bubble.
Yeah. The it snowed overnight here. Actually, it snowed early this morning.
And a decent amount. What,
yeah,
4 inches?
Four
maybe?
5 inches. So really snarled
Fred
up.
Fred woke up with 4 inches.
Oh.
The only,
well,
thing that's a little, the only thing that's a little disappointing is they're going to have time to get rid of it all. Because I like these playoff games where, you know, the field would be clear, but there's a big pile in the end zone maybe, or there's a pile here. I like when you have that as sort of the backdrop. I know Paul doesn't. Paul's a big fan of, you know.
What?
He doesn't like weather games.
Now, there's a difference between having snow, you know, around and having snow affect the game, don't you think?
I like both.
You don't like having snow affect the game?
No, I like to find out who the better team is.
I know.
We should just say Paul doesn't like dot dot dot, and
no,
we'll fill in one thing per show.
This is all this Fred thing, right? I mean, this Andy thing right here is all stemming on the fact that there's a cliche that sort of bothers me, and I was the way that football was meant to be played.
But shouldn't
right?
they,
that is that not a football cliche?
Yeah,
like if it's really bad weather, if it's like snowing, people, you know, traditionalists, the way football was meant to be played, and my question for that is, then why isn't it a winter sport? Why is it a fall sport?
But shouldn't the better team really win in any condition?
No, but that's not my in a nutshell, I said why I don't necessarily.
Right.
Well, there was no AstroTurf or roof stadiums or anything.
The way football was meant to be played.
Right. Outside.
It's a fall sport outside, right? Like, I could understand that. Domes, I don't particularly like domes. Right? I don't really like domes.
No, I know what you're saying.
So Paul only wants football in the southern part of the country.
No, well, I have no
because he doesn't want a dome, but he doesn't want weather to infringe upon the game.
So is there anything wrong with Sunday's game for you?
No.
So I don't have.
But there's nothing wrong the other way. I like weather. I think it adds something. It's an outdoor sport played in late fall, early winter, that the environment and the weather can play a factor.
Sure.
I like that.
Play a factor, yeah, not decide the game. That's the only thing that
I think it decides the game. I don't think it does.
I think one of the cool things about when football's played, it's really played anywhere from the end of summer right until the dead of winter.
Right.
So you can really get any type of weather, which is kind of cool.
Which is why
I like
teams
that.
Can't be built some places certain ways because you have to deal with X in the summer and Y in the winning kind of change of
seasons.
I mean,
if there was one thing I would do related to that, I would say you can't have a dome. You can't be indoor because that is such a drastic change. You know?
I don't particularly like domes. I agree with that.
I don't either, but I don't have a problem with
it. Yeah, I don't think it needs to be illegal because it's not an advantage for the team that plays in the dome to play in a dome.
Oh, I think it is.
No, I don't think
it is. Well, I think you can build your team for it, but
Then you're putting yourself at a disadvantage if you do that.
Well, no, you control your fate. If you need to make sure you're going to play those games at home. If you're going to build yourself as a dome team, you need to make damn well sure that I'm hosting all the games that I need to get to the ultimate game.
Yeah.
And even in that one now, as it's morphing, now it's even more dangerous because you could be in a Super Bowl in New York City in February.
But I think if you have a good fan
and that'll
base.
Be great. Or sorry, New Jersey.
And that'll be great because that's the way it was meant to be played.
I like it.
Because, you know, if you have a good fan base, those indoor games are incredibly loud. You know?
Yes.
Incredibly loud. And that's got to be somewhat of an advantage.
Speaking of that, before I know we're kind of going off topic here.
I meant the field conditions. Yeah. But you're right about the crowd.
To an overnight the other night going home. I don't remember who it was. But somebody just absolutely going with every cliche in the book about the Patriots' home field advantage and a tough place to play, and the crowd gets riled up. And I'm like, funny, because everybody locally talks about how it's not a home field. The only advantage they have is that they have Brady and Belichick. And it's so funny from afar, the cliches that can spew because whatever their record is at home, you know, all these numbers. Well, it's a great home field advantage. No, it isn't. They're a great football team.
I caught a little of the National DA show the other night
really?
When we left.
On Saturday,
on
or Sunday.
It's actually Monday morning.
He's on
from 2 to 6 a.m. now. Yeah. So when Andy
was
and
he
I,
after the other guy that talks like this?
I didn't hear him.
I hate his voice.
We went home and it was the mothership and all that stuff. And I'm not sure that's a great listen nationally.
All right, webradio at patriots.com 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Lots of press conferences.
A lot of activity
going on
at the stadium today.
You know,
trophy is here.
They got the podium, the new backdrops with the AFC backdrop. You know, so you know that now the league's in charge.
Baltimore is going on now, but the Patriots already did all this.
Right. Corey Rush here from the American Football Conference.
Right.
He's no Steve Alec. No.
So now it's like okay. League teams, you've had your time. Now the league comes in.
Which had our friend Mike Giardi from Comcast bitching on Twitter because he said, I've had my hand up for 25 minutes, haven't asked a question yet. Great AFC Championship press conference.
#cough.
He's just bitching and moaning.
And I'm sure he had such a great question to ask.
Right. Well, and then he was ripping, there was a Brady question. I think it was Alex Marvez. Was that who asked the Brady question about his life off
photo
the field
shoots
and photo
and
shoots?
Stuff.
So Giardi, but we needed to know about photo shoots and blah, 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 blah.
Alex Marvez, by the way, we just talked about the weather. He is in his normal shorts, his jean shorts.
Is he really?
But he still doesn't have the ponytail. That's gone.
Well, that's good.
Chip Kelly, Eagles head coach, according to the source.
Wow, really? That's huge.
That is huge.
That came out of nowhere, right?
Because he went back to Oregon and got a pay bump and was staying at Oregon until he wasn't.
Wow.
Chris Mortensen, Chip Kelly to be named Eagles head coach.
That's why you never say never.
Right.
You never say never. All right, let's talk some Patriots here.
Okay.
What do we got?
So evidently, Chip Kelly thought he was going to be the Patriots coach until Fred Kerr said, it's not his decision to make.
What do we got here as far as Patriots? Any news since the game? Let's start with Rob Gronkowski.
We were here yesterday, you know.
I know.
Okay.
Do we know anything now that we didn't before? I know the reports came out that, this is a break outside of the plate.
A different break. The report.
But
who knows?
Anything definitive that we've heard other than reports? No. Okay.
And if I had, I wouldn't say it.
I wouldn't be breaking it here.
The team hasn't announced anything officially,
you
putting
get your
in
injury
an IR
report today.
Or anything like that. Would they bother putting him on IR? Or?
I would think.
Yeah, just to open up the spot?
I mean, I don't know necessarily about this week because maybe they don't feel like they have to have something this week. I think they will, but they might, I could see them for the Super Bowl when you have 2 weeks to prepare. I think you need
that
spot.
They need all the help they can get. Derek Martin could have covered that kick.
Yeah.
I'd be stunned if they don't fill his spot. To me, it's just
But Derek Martin can cover the kick without filling the 53rd spot, right?
Well, yeah, I guess technically, but I'd rather have more people.
Yeah, I would be surprised.
I don't understand why you would ever go into a game that's supposed, you know, your season's on the line and lose and go home, all the cliches that the players were just spewing with not enough guys or not enough options.
So. I would be surprised if they didn't. The only scenario I could see if they that him not doing is maybe they want to put out some spin now and say that, you know.
Could come back in 3 weeks.
Dispute some of these reports and say he's quite, you know, going to list him as questionable, you know, for the Super Bowl or something like that.
I'm not sure that would be good spin because I think that could spin back on you. And what, are you literally just going to kill the guy? Are you going to ruin his career? Like, I think that could spin back around on them.
Yeah, I'm just saying that's the only scenario.
Unless
I could see
the reports are really wrong and he didn't break it. I don't know, you know.
It looked like he really broke it. Based on, I mean, we talked about this. He didn't look like he was in pain the first one when he broke it against the Colts. This one, he looked to be immediately in severe pain.
Yeah.
And to me, that was a really bad sign. Really bad that it was worse or, you know, it was more of a fracture, not a break, or whatever the differences are. Shattered,
right.
Something.
Right.
Something bad was feeling in his arm there.
All right. So.
Press conferences.
Yeah,
we had our press conferences today. Bill Belichick spoke. He was cranky. He was nothing like Sunday night when I thought he was kind of open, forthcoming, about as happy as you can get. Now, obviously, it's a different – they've turned the page, and he's now prepping for a game, not celebrating a victory. But some one-word answers, you know, some questioning of questions for clarification, not just sort of giving a pat answer. And then we had Tom Brady, Vince Wilfork, and Gerard Mayo. I thought the three players were all superb. And I know we have them on our website, and they're – you can click on those now. Then it's not just live, right?
Or... It takes a little. Well, they're all live, but it takes about a half hour to get
in. In a half hour, I would urge people to go to those. I thought all three players did a really good job, and I thought the themes of the day. There were a lot of Patriots way questions, which all three players answered really well.
Which
I know
you
rolled
see,
your eyes, Fred.
Which you might see later in Patriots football.
They did a great job with it. They answered it really well. All sort of different spins on it. There were a lot of Aqib Talib fitting in questions. And,
might see a little of that in Patriots football related too.
I mean, they couldn't be any happier with Aqib Talib. I mean, Belichick called him a good guy, you know, a good guy to be around. Good, you know, he's made our football team better, but a good guy to be around. Mayo talked about how he's a football guy. He met him at the combine or in the draft. He's a football guy. Watches film. You know, was a great guy for your team. And then they all got into the plus. You know, he's a man coverage guy. Everything else he lets us do. So the Aqib Talib situation, based on today, I think there's a 10% more chance that they re-sign him. And I know everybody's jumping to that, the tweets I was getting. So are they going to re-sign him? None of the troubles that we kind of expected or fitting in. I still think no, because I think this run he's on, covering Andre Johnson, then potentially this week covering Torrey Smith, and then maybe next week covering Michael Crabtree or Roddy White, is going to end with him getting a decent contract that he's not going to get here.
Well,
I think it's going to end up being a money thing.
Right.
Plus, anybody who thought there was going to be a problem between October and now, or whenever we trade. It was October, I think, right? There's no way he was going to act up now.
No, I'm not saying act up.
But people were saying people expected there to be problems between
like,
now and
to me,
I would
way
have been stunned
Bill
if there was a problem.
And Mayo and have gone over the top. I don't think it's just, you know, Chad Johnson. He's done everything we've asked him to do. I mean, Bill called him a good guy. He's a good guy to be around. And
right.
And Mayo talked about how. I think they went Paul's now rolling his eyes. I'm in the room of eye rollers around here. But to me, they went
Does
above and
beyond.
Does he
have to say everything that happens that's not over the microphone?
But I buy him. Maybe I know, Paul, you have trouble believing certain people when they say things. I am all in on they love Aqib Talib.
Well, he's got to feel good about his own situation. I mean,
yeah.
He goes on suspension, gets plucked off the Buccaneers, and now he's on a team that's one game away from going
to the
Super Bowl.
And his career was going nowhere.
Right.
Now his season is going to the promised land, and his career is tailing right along with it, including his bank account probably.
And I agree with you. I think that, you know, if this ends favorably for him, it's just going to – his stock is going to rise.
Yeah, and that'll make him not a Patriot because they're not giving him $50 million.
Possibly, right.
Guaranteed. Yeah. I think there's zero chance. Now they may – if they can convince him to take some – you know, tweaked.
One-year deal.
Oh, I don't even know about one-year deal.
See,
but
I could see them giving him a one-year deal for a lot of money.
And this and that, but he's not getting.
If you had to choose.
It was last year, right? It was like $50 million was the going rate for a corner.
If you had to choose one guy to give, you know, market money to, would it be Wes Welker or Aqib Talib?
Welker.
Really? Okay.
The offense is more important here. He's as important as you can be to the offense, and it's the right thing to do.
Okay.
I agree.
All right. What do we got coming up later today? We have the practice report.
Yes, Eric will be by later.
Yeah, and we still have open locker room despite all these podium press conference.
3:30-ish, 3:45. Paul won't be there, but I'll be doing an interview with Devin McCourty for our Patriots Football Weekly television show. And if all those freaking cameras that were up there are in the locker room, it's going to be an absolute zoo.
Yeah.
Zoo. Because there were, I said this to Paul.
It's a lot of activity.
It seemed like
today.
There were more cameras than people to go with them. It was
we were wondering who's going
to
ask
all the questions.
A
whole wall of cameras behind us that even wrapped around.
Is this the more attractive game than the NFC game? In terms of viewers and just interest outside of the regions?
To me it is, but I don't know about nationally.
Yeah.
If I was just sitting on my couch this weekend and this would be the game I'd be more looking forward to. Because I don't have any respect for Atlanta. I think this is two good teams in the AFC and only one good team in the NFC.
And it has the star power. Now, I know those teams have stars, but these are Hall of Fame stars, Brady and Ray Lewis and Belichick. Even the Harbaughs are now kind of a story, so I think John adds to that. Yeah, I think this is probably the more marquee game.
This is the marquee game.
Now, I think those teams are playing to be marquee. Like Matt Ryan and the Falcons are playing to be great and to win a Super Bowl, and even the 49ers to get over the hump and say, you know, we're legit. We're not going anywhere. Colin Kaepernick's for real, and you're seeing the best team in the NFC from now on.
Right. We're not going to screw it up this year because they have a little bit of a monkey on their back from last year, the 49ers.
Well, know? No, because it was their first year.
Yeah. I know.
But there's still a team on the rise, whether they win or lose on Sunday.
Right. But I think they can stamp the rise is already here, and you bitches go through us from now on.
Yeah, and I think they will emerge.
Most people do. Jarvis Green does. Patriots by 14 and 49ers by 21.
Oh, I saw you retweeted that.
He's booking games now, Jarvis Green is.
He tweeted it, so I retweeted it.
Yeah.
You know, when he's away
Jarvis
from his...
Jarvis Green, very nice. Yeah. Very nice man.
And now he does, like, oil defracking or something in, like, Montana.
I don't know what it is, but he's working with Foundry or something here.
He's got all kinds of
now,
businesses.
I haven't watched ESPN or any of these shows since the game. What nationally are they saying? Are we being disrespected?
I'm sure that you
as
would
a
think
9.5
so.
Point favorite.
Well, ESPN doesn't set that line. I'm wondering what the analysts are saying.
I don't know. I haven't watched it. I try not to watch ESPN. I don't want to be swayed by their idiocy.
I actually heard, and I haven't heard. I'm like you, Fred. I haven't watched a ton, so there might be very much widespread disrespect. This is one I haven't heard. So when people start writing in and telling us, I can't dispute it like I normally do.
But you still will.
One thing I did see on Monday was, and I was surprised by this because I thought it would be the opposite, knowing ESPN and their penchant for overreaction, how much they were downplaying the loss of Gronkowski just because of how good the Patriots are at game planning around stuff like that and finding ways. And Jaworski and Merrill Hodge were talking about, actually Hodge used the word, it'll be minimal. The loss will be minimal. And Jaws, well, come on, it's going to be a little bit more than that. But they kind of both agreed that the Patriots, their offense is so good that they'll find a way around it. And they were saying how.
I agree.
They were
I
saying
kind of
how,
agree, but I don't think it's minimal.
Because they've been game planning without him all year.
But aren't you surprised
for the freaking
like
guy who's coined the term factor back? You're telling me that Rob Gronkowski's not a factor player?
But aren't you surprised to hear him say that?
They've been working without him for a while now. If this just happened and they had him all along, I would say, well, no, this is huge. But they've been working without him for...
Yeah, I don't buy it.
You don't buy it? Really?
No. Yes, it's a benefit to have been working without him. But I don't buy that it's not a major, major issue. You're in the most important game of the year against a team, as Bill said, is as good as any we've faced, and that's how it should be. And when you lose, I don't want to hear people then say, well, we didn't have Gronk. No, if you don't think it's a factor, then it's not a factor after you lose.
Okay.
Okay? So you're going to stick with that?
Yes.
Because I think it's a factor. Whether they win or lose, I think it's a major factor.
No,
you know, looking back at last year's AFC title game.
This won't be last year's
18 of 22 completions for Tom Brady went to Wes Welker, Aaron Hernandez, Rob Gronkowski. I think it was like 8-7-6 or 7-6-5.
Yeah.
The other four, there was like one each. And I'm not ready, and maybe you guys are, to anoint Brandon Lloyd. Okay, he's ready.
I'm not ready for that.
Yeah, I'm not sure against
that production will be made up in the running game.
Yeah, maybe.
You know?
Maybe.
I don't.
Maybe. Maybe you have found your star in Shane Vereen. Maybe he'll motion out and spread sets, and you'll be talking about mismatches in a different way, but mismatches that he's setting up and all that.
And if it doesn't, then it's really the running game isn't as good as we thought it was. You know, it's not Rob Gronkowski. You know, now I know Rob Gronkowski contributes
to the running. Yeah, Rob Gronkowski is up here. Yeah, to me, he's a Hall of Fame talent. Running game is complimentary.
He makes them that much better. There's no doubt about it.
So I think it's ridiculous to say it's not a major loss.
I don't think it's major.
Okay. I don't want to hear it major when they lose.
Now, when they play San Francisco, because of that defense, it's a major loss.
Okay.
If look, I don't want to get ahead of myself, knock on wood, But a defense like that, absolutely, it's a major loss.
I just want to make sure people are consistent. If it's not major before, it's not major after.
I don't think that the Ravens' defense is as good as it used to be, and that's not where our problem is going to lie. It's going to lie in stopping their offense.
I just don't think the Patriots' offense is as good as it can be when he's not out there, especially if it's going to be one of those games.
But it's all relative, right?
Where Hernandez, down in Miami, they had nobody else to throw to because, it's fourth quarter and Brandon Lloyd ain't done crap.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Hernandez has one of those days where he starts out with the first five times, two of them are drops or something they throw to him. And all of a sudden, nobody other than Welker's doing anything out there. Okay, I think it's a major blow.
Right. Well, if that's the case, you'll be right.
I didn't say they're going to lose.
No, I didn't say that
either. Okay.
I'm just saying if the offense stalls and that becomes a problem, you'll be right. Yeah, obviously they could have used Gronkowski. I don't think against this team that's the issue. That's going to be the case.
Okay.
Yeah. I brought it up because I was surprised knowing ESPN. Like I said, their penchant for overreaction. Right. I thought they would make it the sky is falling. And neither one of you guys is saying that. I know that. But how easily they dismissed. I'm sort of on Andy's side, Fred. I think that they can still score points. But I think this is a huge thing against this defense because this defense stinks. Baltimore's defense stinks.
Well, I don't know if it stinks.
It's not good. Let's put it that way.
It's middling.
So to take away the best weapon you have, I'm sorry, that makes Baltimore's job easier to stop you. And they want to try to keep everything in front. And Gronkowski is a guy they don't have an answer for down the seam.
Right. That's true.
And I don't know how you can just laugh that off.
You have old Ed Reed and old Ray Lewis.
They're still going to score points because, like I said, I don't think Baltimore's very good defensively. And I know that Brady has struggled against this defense. And I know they weren't that good defensively last year either, and he struggled against them last year. But I just look at it as this is a far weaker defense than even last year's was. And I don't think last year's was very good. And now those guys are a year older and more injured than they were. I think this is a situation where it's all on Flacco. Flacco's got to keep up. If he doesn't, the Ravens are going to lose.
Well, I agree.
Lucky for them, the last three or four times they played, he's kept up and put up 300 yards and seven touchdowns and no interceptions. No,
I don't expect it to be a 45-point game like it is against Houston.
I'm not a sabermetrician or whatever those
– sabermetrics guy.
But if there was like the whole, wins over replacement or – points over replacement, I think it's a big deal for Rob Gronkowski. I think that's a big deal to your offense. And maybe it won't matter. Maybe Paul's right. Maybe their defense stinks, and maybe Brady's just firing on all cylinders. But if you're in a dogfight, which I expect, I think it's going to be tight.
But I'll tell you this.
I think you're in trouble. I think you've taken away one of Tom Brady's three trusted playmakers. Now you're down to two.
If they go from 35, say, to 24, that to me is the singular reason, because I think that what Baltimore can do is slam you close to the line of scrimmage and keep you bottled up and keep everything in front. I think they've generally done a pretty good job with Welker and making him earn a lot of his yards. They haven't let him squirt free for those 30-yard catches that he had against Houston. He had a 35-yard catch against Houston last week. I don't think Baltimore's going to let that happen. Gronk is really the only, and it's not really even a deep threat, but he's the only deep threat they have.
Plus,
they're going to take Brandon Lloyd on the outside and say, please, Tom, throw the ball to him.
You said 35 down to what, 24?
24-ish.
What if it's 35 down to 27? You take away 4 points on each. Well, they don't finish the drives. Right. They kick field goals. I think you could lose 28-27. I think Baltimore can be in the high 20s.
I agree with you.
And I'm looking not sure they can get in the high 30s.
And I'm looking at 27. I agree with you. I'm looking
at
the Patriots.
But that's literally just two drives where his favorite red zone target, and we've all seen those numbers for Brady to Gronkowski in the red zone. It's, so much better completion percentage, so many more touchdowns, no turnovers. Well, that's a difference. And when you get bogged down there, don't you think it's easier for Ed Reed and Ray Lewis and those guys to play in a box that's, less than 20 yards? That plays into their hands, and you take away the best player for the Patriots in that box.
Yeah.
In a close game where I think teams are, fighting, I think that could matter.
I think it can matter, but I think, again, they've had time to prepare for it this year. And if it just happened and they've been with Gronkowski this whole, I would really be worried.
Yeah, but you can only do so much to prepare. You can't replace the player, the performance, and the ability.
I know, but they've lived without him. They've performed without him. They've produced without him.
Against bad teams.
And I don't think this
defense is that
good. And
the offense stagnated against those bad teams.
Again, if this was the 49ers defense, I'd be like, I might even be picking the 49ers. you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're not even in the same class.
You notice how he has to say might, because when that happens, when that happens in 2 weeks, he can't pick the 49ers.
You've never even considered picking against him in a Super Bowl, have you?
No. Flat out, I'm not going to do it.
Not even an 0-1.
No. No. Nope. Just can't
I'm fine
it.
With that. I'm
I can't
fine
do
with
that.
It. I have no problem with that.
Yeah. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. Emails coming in. Let's go. Let's
to webradio at patriots.com.
Webradio at patriots.com.
The Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios.
Right. Let's go to Melvin in Tennessee on the Ace Ticket hotline. Hey, Melvin.
What's up? How's everybody doing?
Good.
Great.
Well, I just had a question about Chandler Jones. I was trying to figure out an update on that because watching that last game, he seemed kind of ineffective. I'm starting to want to see Francis more and starting to miss quarterback there. So what do you all think of his performance, I guess, on Sunday, and where is he heading in the future as we continue?
I don't think he did much on Sunday, honestly.
Yeah. And he was out relatively early, right?
Yeah, he turned his ankle, and we don't know his status for this game coming up. You know, we'll start getting these injury reports. But
he won't be healthy.
And there was
even
a lot
if he
of
played, the way he was limping, walking, you don't immediately stop limping.
Yeah.
So
that was the part that concerned me was after the game.
Your hope is to get him on the field at all. And even if he's out there, it's not going to – and that's a concern because it's the old domino effect we always talk about in one direction or the other. Well, these dominoes that look nice as backups and spot players, I don't know how good you feel about, you know, Cunningham was a non-factor the other day.
He hasn't really played
since
he's come back.
I like his energy, but really, am I putting him out there every down?
Trevor Scott, I didn't see much from.
Who goes in, do you think? Do you think it's Scott or Cunningham?
I would say Cunningham, but not overly confidently.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think they're all backups. That's the problem. You don't have any depth at that position of guys that are, like, literally, you know, ready to play every snap.
Do you think Bill is, I don't want to say punishing the guys, but, you know, the two guys that got the suspensions have played very sparingly since they've come back from their suspensions.
I think the two guys who got suspensions were bit players.
Now, Bolden is a bit player, but Cunningham seemed like he was more of a role player than he has been since he's come back in the two games.
Right, but he was still a bit player. I mean, he's still a guy that had basically
he was coming in consistently
in one package
playing tackle.
But now it looks like Francis has taken that job.
Yeah, because I think he's been every bit as active. I mean, that's what happens when you're a role player like that. In my opinion, it's not that hard to fall out of a role. You know, if you're a starter, that's your job. You're at
up
a certain level.
Yeah. Thanks, Melvin, for the call. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's
go
to the
question, though. Who would play the bulk of the snaps against a traditional team like the Ravens?
Well, the Patriots are going to play a 2-5-4. So, I don't know.
Good, Fred. That adds up.
Yeah.
2-5-4, that adds up.
I love guys that do that, and it doesn't
add up.
You only have 10 guys on the field. This is not a punt return, so we actually need 11.
You know, we're going to go. I think they should go with a 4-4-5.
I think they would kick ass in a 4-4-5.
Well, now that they have Tlaib. Before that, I'm not so sure.
Patriots might want to go like 4-3-7.
D is in Maine. She says, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I keep hearing everyone say the Ravens were a field goal away from the Super Bowl last year. Wouldn't the field goal have tied the game, not won it? And to that fact, who knows what would have happened in OT. That is true.
That's true, and it's the same thing as the Rams Super Bowl. The Rams... over the Titans, Tennessee. Tennessee was 1 yard away. No, they were 1 yard away from tying the Super Bowl.
Right.
So there is a difference.
But you know,
I think most people talk about the Lee Evans play, the Sterling Moore strip.
That would have been a winner.
Would have been
that
a
would
winner.
Have won the game. Right.
On the Ravens game.
Right. Wes from Indiana says, just want to say love the show. Each of you do a great job sharing football knowledge, and each of you can be hilarious entertainers. I'm a Colts fan. And I always will be, but I started listening to the show about 3 years ago because it was the best football podcast on iTunes, and I've come to respect the Patriots organization from listening. I'll be cheering for the Patriots on Sunday, and I was wondering, which of the following you think will be the most critical aspect of the game? 1, the Ravens' ability to limit the Patriots' third down conversions. 2, the Patriots' ability to limit big plays from the Ravens. Or 3, the Ravens' ability to run well with consistency. And P.S., there was a guy named Jake Steele in my intramural flag football team. See? A lot of
Jake Steele's coming out.
Right? They're not just porn guys.
Well, I saw somebody.
A lot of them on LinkedIn.
Yeah, somebody tweeted like 36 of them on LinkedIn or some ridiculous number.
Yeah.
So change your name.
Well, I wouldn't be Jake Steele. I want to have a unique name.
Now Jake Steele's not good.
Oh, I can't, yeah.
What's the question here?
Okay, one. Which of these do you think would be most critical?
Okay.
One of three. Ravens' ability to limit Patriots' third downs, conversions. Two, the Patriots' ability to limit big plays from the Ravens. And three, the Ravens' ability to run well with consistency.
I'm going to go B. Most critical Patriots' ability to eliminate big plays, because I don't think the Ravens can put drives together. I think they need big plays to score points.
I think that's the key.
I agree.
Yeah. And I think they will. You know, I think
if history recent here in their most recent games and against the Patriots is any indication, they will.
That's why the bookies have this at 10.
But the one difference is, and I know I don't want to be Mr. Homer, but I do feel better with McCourty at safety in this matchup.
Yes.
He got absolutely torched beyond belief
right.
the first time as a corner. That was sort of the bottoming out almost.
But I think that's,
I feel better.
That's why the bookies have this
trouble
at 10.
Trouble is, there's another side of the field.
The
and
bookies
more
have
to
this
it.
At 10 because they know the money's going to come in on the Patriots, and they're trying to make sure they even it out.
Well, then it should go down then eventually, right?
Well, it started at 10. It was down to 9, so that's kind of happened.
I thought it creeped up. Yeah. No?
Now, but that's how lines work. They try to even out the money.
Right.
So they don't take a bath.
No, but they
and they know the Patriots' money is going to be overwhelming.
Well, they set the line at where they think the money's going to come in evenly, and then it goes from there, right?
Right. So let's just say that for argument's sake, they had the Patriots at 3. The money wouldn't be coming in evenly.
It would be coming
all
Patriots.
It would be coming in 90% on the Patriots.
Right, right.
And they don't want that.
Yeah.
But it still has a belief on the game.
It does.
I know there is a perception aspect to it, but they still they think people are going to look at the game and assess it,
right.
and then tie the point spread in. And if it's swayed one direction or the other,
right.
that'll influence the money.
Right.
Yeah. But so, I think the reason has more to do with the Patriots' offense than the Patriots' defense.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think the people think that the Ravens can stop the Patriots. I certainly don't.
But I just don't get, and we talked about this a little yesterday, the direct comparison to the Texans, like the same exact feeling.
Yeah, that's the part that I'm not buying.
Whatever the reason may be, whether it's a perception number or a factual football-based number, how do they look at the Texans and the Ravens the same?
That's why I say if this is a 9.5-point spread, then the Texans should have been a 16-point
right.
spread because the Ravens are clearly a touchdown better than the Texans.
So why wasn't it? Like, that's what I don't
understand. Because they want to make sure they get that money right.
No, but nobody respected the Texans either.
Right.
So, you know, the 9 was enough to get the money on the Texans.
I think they respected the Texans' defense a little bit more.
But everybody we talked to said the Texans had no chance. You know, even fans in Houston. And so I don't understand
because
how people...
Because of Matt Schaub.
No, but whatever the reasons, why the team direct numerical comparisons?
Yeah, I think if the games were reversed and the Ravens played first, the number would have been lower. I think coming off of the Patriots' blowout win, they know that the money's coming in on the Patriots. They know everybody's I've seen this look before. This is the Patriots going to the Super Bowl, and they know that everybody's going to bet the Patriots because they're the I mean,
but I think you
if
can,
you're average Joe, you're looking at the Patriots and you're saying, they've been here before. I have confidence that they're going to continue this. This is what they do.
I think you can spin some positives from the Ravens coming out of last weekend. Now, there's issues. They played a long football, tough football game
that's
on
part
the road
of it
to Denver.
Too.
Well, if,
but
yeah.
that's a much better Broncos defense that they had a lot of success with. Getting the ball over the top and scoring points. As Bill just said, Flacco's, you know, not turning the ball over, making big plays and scoring points. That's what the game is about, and that's why they beat the Broncos, a much better defense.
Well, if the number has gone up, that means the money still is coming on pages. If it's gone down, that means the Baltimore people jumped on that.
Yeah, I don't think it's really moved very
much. Like
I think it was like 9.5
all.
And it's 9, or it was 10 and it's 9
and
a half
also depends
or something like that.
Which
I don't
one
think
you're
it's
using.
Moved very much.
There's a variety of numbers, different casinos and books.
I don't think it's moved very much, if at all.
Okay. Brenton, Switzerland, it's been a long time since I've written. I still listen every week.
Thank you.
In the beginning of the third quarter of the last game, there was a pass to Hernandez on the right side, and he moved upfield before he turned to cut across the middle. He is fast, but he was holding the ball in his hand.
Always.
All I could think about was protect the ball. We will need Hernandez to step up a bit in this game with Gronk out, but do you think guys have the same concerns about his drops and how he carries the ball like I do?
Yes,
I do.
Yeah.
And he's consistent.
Yeah.
The Deion Sanders thing, he fancies himself Deion Sanders. He has said it on the record. He always loved Deion.
Really?
He thinks he's Deion Sanders. And he does that almost every play, and then he'll tuck it away. But the first, And sooner or later, he's going to get decked. There's going to be a safety he didn't see or somebody, and he's going to lose it. But he does that consistently all the time. The good part of that is I did think last week he looked really good running the football. I thought his speed looked good. Paul wanted a pass interference,
but he cut that back across. That doesn't mean he wasn't running well. He looked really good,
and you need that. You're going to need that this week, and you're going to have the opportunity to do it. You have the chance to get by Ray Lewis, make him miss on the inside, and then turn 5 into 15 or 15 into 20 or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, what I was talking about with the pass interference is there was a play late in the game that Hernandez got called for pass.
Oh, yeah.
He ran over the guy covering him. It's the same play, the one that the email was talking about.
I meant to go back because I didn't see the replay.
He ran
of
into
the first
a guy,
one.
And either they're both interference or neither is interference. And I would Mike Pereira or someone could say, well, no, that's incidental contact or whatever. But he ran into a defensive back and knocked him over twice.
People were claiming one was an extension and one wasn't. I needed to see the – I haven't seen the replay of
the first. Well, the one that they called on him I thought was a penalty.
Oh, he definitely extended on that one because it's not just the collision. He then just extended and threw him down.
Right.
He was like a defensive player disengaging.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the replay of the first one to see if there was a dramatic difference
between the two. I just look at those plays, and you're right, because there might have been a subtle difference in it, and that's what the Mike Pereira's.
Because that's what they always say on receivers, too. If they see that arm straighten out
– yep.
Even if the contact may be less than if you just hit him, they're going to call it. That extension is what they
call. To be honest with you, I didn't like the call on him, the interference call, because of the inconsistency of the whole thing. If I'm Houston, don't call it when it's 41-13 or whatever it was when you called it. I needed that when it was 17-13 in the start of the third quarter when he catches a 40-yard pass.
But the officials will say, we look at every play individually, not the point in the game, and we call it the way we see it.
I know, and I think they look at it and they say, well, it's not going to hurt anybody now.
Well,
so
what
we'll
might
have
happened is they missed it the first time, got bitched at, and now they're looking for it.
I actually
don't think they do that often.
You don't think so?
I think they do generally a pretty good job of just looking at
a
play.
So you don't think that coaches say, hey, watch, they're doing this a lot, watch
yes,
for that?
Yes, I do, but I generally think they try their best to just take one play at a time and look at it and did he extend, did he not extend, was it X, was it Z, whatever. I think they do a pretty good job of that.
Ace Ticket Hotline.
I'm not quite the ref hater that Paul is.
Chris with a TIN. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
I think for me, for this game, it all boils down to how much do the Ravens have left in the tank defensively, and how long can they ride this emotional wave?
Yeah, and that was part of what I said. If I thought the games were reversed, I think the spread would be smaller. I think people are looking at that as being a factor. Like, what do they have left?
Yeah.
If it was last week, it's not 87 more plays at altitude that you're dealing with for that Ravens defense.
Yep. And obviously, would you agree that Denver's defense is better than ours?
Yes, far.
So.
Oh, far.
Well,
far.
I don't know. I mean, in other words, Flacco is definitely going to make some plays.
Yes.
And the question is, with the absence of Gronkowski and the emergence of a Vereen, and more importantly, I think the running game with Ridley, are they going to be able to score enough points, to offset that? And I had a question about special teams, which played a pretty big role in both games.
Mm-hmm.
Well, definitely in the Denver game and early on in the Texan game. Do the Patriots take a look at what happened, and instead of putting McCourty back there, I know it's a stretch, it's the AFC Championship game, but put a guy like Vereen back there?
I think there's a chance. Because I think Vereen has been in the mix for these types of roles, and I think his confidence, he's not a guy out of left field. So I agree with that hesitation you have, that McCourty's our guy, and Bill really puts a premium on ball security decision. So I think Vereen would be a change, but I think he's sort of in the thought process, in the conversation, not like, I don't even know, who's some random guy who's never done it before.
Right.
And, just throw, Kamar Aiken.
And in addition to that, he's now had the ball in his hands a little bit more recently to kind of lead you to believe there's more confidence there. But I would be surprised.
I would be very surprised.
I think Bill's history would be, we're going to stick with McCourty. Plus, for whatever reason, he just loves McCourty. He loves him.
Well, part of it, we saw it on the play where he caught the guy from behind. And we saw it, he had a pick earlier this year. I don't know if you remember coming, it was here, it was right to left across. He picked it off and turned on the Jets, and I said, how come he doesn't run like that when he's returning kicks?
Or when he's
he
covering
has
guys.
The speed.
Oh, he does.
Yes, or when he's covering guys. He has the Bethel Johnson extra gear that you don't always see, that he breaks out every once in a while. And I think Bill probably has seen that enough times that he
expects it. That's what he gets out of that Fred G. Sanford walk out of
the
locker room.
And turns into an elite sprinter. And I, we need more of that.
I don't think he, you know, it's like when he gets the kickoff returns, he doesn't have that quickness that like an Edelman would.
Right.
And but he has the speed of a Bethel Johnson, like you said, when he gets out into the open.
Right, he needs to get to that point. Yeah, he just doesn't often get to that point.
Yeah, he doesn't get a – when guys are around him, he's not able to get out of it like an Edelman.
Right.
Yeah.
And didn't Vereen return kicks in preseason?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
That's
he's
what Andy was talking
bit.
About. Okay.
So right. I think there's a possibility or, you know, if McCourty got hurt, I think there's a chance. I'm not sure Bill is the kind that changes for change's sake or spark. He likes McCourty. He thinks he's good at it.
And next to Mayo, he's in love with McCourty. Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
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 It's crazy.
Yep.
All right.
All right, see Christian. Ya. Thanks for the call. Let's go to
quick,
go ahead.
I just wanted to, because he brought up the defense, the comparison Denver. One issue for Denver, and we saw it, you know, exposed a few times, is the general scouting report on them is their safeties are the weakness of the defense. And I think you saw that. And I'm not willing to say McCourty and Steve Gregory are like, you know, Ronnie Lott and Rod Woodson, but I think they've been playing pretty well. They seem to work pretty well together. That may be a big factor in limiting, you know, those big plays that killed Denver in the end. So even though I think their team defense is better, the matchup might be a little less poor for the Patriots.
Yeah, I'll say this. For the Ravens, better be prepared. You know, John Harbaugh, Jim Caldwell, and Joe Flacco for the Patriots not allowing big
right.
plays. And they better have a plan, you know, say, okay, listen, we can try all the shots we want, but they're simply not going to allow it. And I think back to the first game this year against the Patriots when they had several deep in cuts. And I know why those were all wide open, because I know where the safeties were playing that night. And that's what Joe Flacco's going to have to do. He's going to have to complete Jacoby Jones coming across the middle
right.
and see if he can get, you know, a 20-yard catch, and then maybe he makes a run out of it. Because I think if they just want to drop back and do what they did last year in the AFC Championship game and last week against Denver, I'd be stunned if the Patriots allow that to be as easily completed as it was back in September and last week, say, against Denver.
The only thing that swayed me on that, and I was watching that game and I was like, this is all well and dandy, but the Patriots won't let you do this. They're not just going to match up a guy like Champ Bailey and say, you got to deal with him, but they kind of did that with Tlaib against Johnson, and all this talk about how good Tlaib is and has me wondering, is there a chance they do that and just say, we're not going to give you a ton of help. You got to block. You
no,
gotta
but
cover
they
him?
Might put Tlaib on Bolden, you know, quote-unquote neutralize him, and then make sure that there's always help on Torrey Smith.
No, they might. I'm just saying, when I watched the Broncos-Ravens game, I said there's no chance they're going to let somebody get torched like Champ Bailey is, because they don't have the confidence in a corner to put him on an island like Champ Bailey. But then with the comments about Tlaib and what Tlaib did last week, I wondered, is there a chance they're going to put Tlaib on him and say,
yeah,
you got to do it. You did it against Johnson. Do it again.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's problematic.
I certainly
for the
would.
Patriots.
I would be wrong then, because I just look at it and say, I know too much about Bill Belichick and in his history to say, you know, the whole cliche, when there's one thing that he takes away, you know, you're not going to get that.
Right.
You're not going to be able to do that. So to me, if you're the Ravens, you have to be prepared to run Ray Rice. You have to be prepared to throw the ball to him out of the backfield. You have to be prepared to get Bolden, you know, some catches, and you have to be prepared to maybe get Jacoby Jones involved in this game. Who's the guys? I mean, think about it. This game, you know, the Super Bowl. Remember? Why am I Knicks?
Ballard?
It's Knicks. Remember? It's Knicks and Cruz. It's Knicks and Cruz. And who makes the play? Mario Manningham. That's Jacoby Jones.
Right.
Right?
Right.
That's, you know, in credit to the Giants, they recognized it. And they said, we got to go somewhere else. Let's see what the Ravens do. Because if the Ravens just try to force feed Torrey Smith four or five deep balls, A, I think McCourty will come up with a pick or two because he'll just be playing center field, and he does that very well. And B, they're going to fall incomplete, and you're going to be in third and long.
One more call before we take a break. Tim in Colorado. Hey, Tim.
I'm Kevin.
How you doing?
Doing good. It was great to see the downfall of Peyton Manning, as I predicted, out here in Colorado.
Okay. Were you watching with Peter Tebow or no?
What's that?
Were you watching the game with Peter Tebow?
No, I live in a small town called Crested Butte. I'm actually a second-time caller, and I think I was the only one that gave the Ravens a chance. I didn't think Peyton would win with the cold weather.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, I thought the run defense for the Ravens wasn't super stout, and I think we're going to do a decent job running the ball. Hillman had a good game, and he's nothing as good as Ridley. I think we're going to sneak a lot of – we're really going to pound that line of scrimmage, and that's going to be a difference for this game, because if we can make them respect the run, I think we have a good chance. I also feel like Flacco is going to really try to take advantage of that deep ball, and he's going to throw a couple picks. But, I mean, we'll see. What do you guys think?
Well, like Paul said, I think, you know, I would definitely try it. I wouldn't, you know, I'd make the Patriots stop me before I gave up on it. But, you know, the Patriots will really have to have a breakdown in order for that to really get burned the way they got in that first game. You know, that's still in their minds, how they were abused. And I, you know, the Patriots.
But it wasn't just the first game. It was the AFC Championship last year, too.
Yeah.
But remember, we're only ninth. We're ninth in the league in pass yards given up. That's not awful. So
that's not true.
I know you guys keep talking
There's
about
no way they're ninth
defense,
in the league in pass yards allowed.
You might be thinking about points.
They're in the red zone, and that could be the difference, too.
They're 29th in the league in passing yards allowed, yeah. I believe. They're ninth in points allowed.
Okay, well, maybe I get the stat wrong.
They're 25th in total yards, and I believe 9th in rushing yards and 29th in passing yards.
Okay, I trust Andy's numbers.
What are they for red zone?
I don't know.
Well, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about over-the-top big plays. So, I mean, they're good in the red zone.
Yeah, Baltimore is hoping to not have to worry about the red zone.
Right.
I also really feel, and I kind of predicted this earlier in the season, that we would beat the Texans regular season and we would succumb to the 49ers in a tight game because we used so much emotion.
That's what happened?
Beating the Texans, we just had such a – we used so much to beat them in the first game, even though it was a blowout, that we kind of came off that emotional high. And I feel like they have to be a little bit beat up, the Ravens, I'm hoping, after coming out here to altitude. You know, I live at 9,000 feet. I know it's pretty it beats you up a little bit being out here just at altitude in general. And, you know, I feel like the Ravens are going to come in there pumped, but I just feel like they used a lot in that double overtime game, and they have to be a little bit drained. Do you think I'm on the right track?
I've heard some people say that. Yeah.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. You're not going to – at whatever your peak is, you're not going to be at it after that game and the travel and everything. You're not going to be perfect. You're just not going
to
be there. It took something.
You guys do an awesome job. I've been a longtime listener. I grew up in Concord, New Hampshire, and – I've been out in Colorado 20 years, and I still am proud to be a Patriots fan, and PFW is awesome, and you guys do an excellent job, and I hope it works out okay. I'm slightly mentally prepared to lose, but I do think we're going to win. I really am pulling.
We're going to win this game. Don't worry about this game.
Thanks, Tim.
Tim from Colorado, thanks for the call.
Wanted to clarify real quick. I was right on the yardage numbers. 25th in total defense, 9th in rushing yards allowed, 29th passing yards allowed, and he asked about red zone. Patriots are 13th in the NFC and the NFL in red zone defense.
Okay. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, more emails here on PFW in Progress.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback. A running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but, like, basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
Have you ever had a lobster bisque?
I have not.
You don't know from soup, then, if you haven't had one.
You don't know from soup.
You don't know from soup.
Is it soup? Every once in a while, it turns into that 1955 character.
Lobster bisque.
Then why isn't it called lobster soup?
You have a good lobster bisque, it just...
Because is a stew a soup, or is it
no
a stew?
No soup for you.
It's like sex for your
is
throat.
Is a chowder a soup? Eric already has sex for his throat.
Fred, why do you do this?
I had nothing to do with you.
Yes, you did.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
Go ahead, Fred. Go ahead, Fred. Fred, you can talk now. Go ahead, Fred. Go ahead, Fred.
We're still waiting.
Go ahead, Fred.
Just talk.
Go ahead, Fred. I am talking.
We are talking.
I'm saying, go ahead,
we're waiting
Fred.
For you.
My headphones were tangled.
So why does that affect
well,
your mouth?
We're waiting.
You don't need headphones to speak.
Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. Paul is eating his food. Andy already, I can't believe how fast you eat.
Right, I'm going on the mission,
part of
Fred.
My issues. I need to eat.
Part?
Right.
I saw this gadget out of your little CES, that big gadget conference or whatever.
CES, yeah.
One of the hot things was this new fork that tells you when you're supposed to, like, it has a timer, and if you shovel it in, it starts vibrating and telling you to slow down.
Gives you a shock.
Yeah, I think I need one of those.
Yeah.
Tell me how, because you're not, Anything faster than
chew everything like 20 times or something.
But yeah,
like that.
Anything faster than every 10 or 15 seconds if you're shoveling is way too fast, and I'm sure I'm way ahead of that.
Oh yeah,
I'm like Chip Kelly's offense when it comes to eating. I'll take a bite every couple seconds.
You literally inhale. I mean,
I was hungry.
You had a pocket the size of a frisbee, and it's gone. Yeah,
I was hungry.
You know, speaking of the Chip Kelly offense, I also think that will be a big factor this week. Patriots tempo.
Oh yeah,
to that tired Ravens defense and
fat, heavy, tired old
yeah.
D. Yep. Could be, but that's a sword that goes two ways.
Oh,
I always
absolutely.
Say that. You know, a team that's competitive, if they get you off the field, all of a sudden that defense on the field a lot, all of a sudden they're hitting big plays, all of a sudden, you know, that up-tempo is great when you're executing. I think it's miserable when you're not.
WebRadio@Patriots.com. Let's get to some of these emails. Speaking of up-tempo, Brandon writes, and concerning the no huddle, I know that the communication between the quarterback and the offensive coordinator is cut off at a certain time. I was wondering if any of you knew how it works when the Patriots are moving so fast. Do they cut it off? Does it even have a chance to be cut on?
Is it 15 seconds?
I think it's 15.
I believe it's a certain time on the play clock.
But if you're already at the line of scrimmage, I think they cut it off, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. I think that when you are in your spot where you certainly, like you're under center or you're in formation, I think it's off. Even if it's before the play clock.
I thought it was as soon as it's at 15 seconds or when you break huddle.
Yeah, but what if you don't break the
huddle?
But
if you never break a huddle, there's no or break a huddle.
I don't think it goes on.
No, it does.
I believe it does.
Really?
Yeah. Because you can do like the you know, you're looking to the sideline, you're getting the play. And the receivers stay out there, and then you call the – I think
– And you're not technically in the huddle. You've broken the huddle because you never had one.
Right.
But I think once you're sort of, you know, 52 is the mic and you're directing traffic, it's off. Because the ball could be snapped at any time.
Well, it's a good question.
As it should be. Yeah. I wouldn't even want it on.
Yeah.
Like, if you're Brady and you're going through your audibles and Josh yells something, I mean, that's distracting. You've had one of those infrared IFBs, and you always freak out if they say something. So.
Well, I was actually thinking about that with your Take Tuesday that you did yesterday on the Houston Texans punt formation.
Oh,
they lined up, and no one covered the left side gunner for the Texans. The
Alan
Patriots,
Ball.
The Patriots had only 10 players on the field, and Wes Welker noticed it. And I think someone on the sideline noticed it and called timeout. But what if you had communication there and you could do, you know, like you're communicating with the punter, for example. Now, I know that you only have the quarterback and the signal caller on defense are the only two guys that have that. But, you know, could you say, hey, Donnie, just take the snap, snap it, throw it out to the, and all of a sudden you got a touchdown.
Really, you should have that conversation during the week in practice.
Understood.
That was piss poor coaching.
I was just talking about
hypothetical. I don't find on any level. There should be something in place so that if either the up back or the punter sees a gunner who's uncovered, you need to have a call.
Yeah.
And they clearly, they had no idea, and B, I don't even know if they would have had a call based on the other aspects of the game in which they seem so ill-prepared. Gary Kubiak, to me, sucked on Sunday. And that was just one of the examples. Or Wade Phillips is a big part of it. Maybe Kubiak doesn't even play a role on defense. I don't know. But they did not glorify themselves in coaching.
According to ESPN, 46% of the snaps, by the way. Blitzes. Andy and I were, you know, this was classic Andy and Paul. We spent the whole week talking about how the Texans need to be a little bit less aggressive.
Right.
Not blitz as much. What was it, middle of the third quarter or start of the fourth, Andy?
Somewhere in there.
Andy looks at me and he goes, and this is probably a stupid question, it's a little late, but have you been noticing, are they blitzing a lot?
I'm bad at those.
And Andy and I go, we're the worst.
I also sometimes will start a game with something like that. I'm gonna chart. And then like
third
I'll
play.
Do the first few and then, oh shoot, did they blitz on that play? Did you see that? I missed it. I wasn't paying attention.
That's why you have to, you know, watch that game again afterwards. TG and
NJ. 8 to 10 hours.
That's right. TG and NJ says, why the Patriots can't win the AFC? guys, we can't win. In the same way the hand of Myra came down and guided that Cundiff kick wide left a year ago, the Lord God shall grant his humble servant Ray a win over the dreaded Patriots. How else to explain the brain fart by the Broncos with 31 seconds left? Kershikus 2013. And the Lord God cast down a fatigue and mental lapse upon the Pharaoh Manning so that his disciple Ray would pass through the mile-high mountain of Broncos to pass into the promised land of New England, wherein he shall be redeemed. It pretty much is Belichick against God himself. We can't win. I don't know. Belichick might be able to take him on that. Maybe.
I want to hear from someone who thinks the Ravens are going to win. You think we'll hear from anybody?
No. Not unless a Ravens fan tunes in.
Yeah. But I mean like a non-Ravens fan.
No.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get one either.
I think as you said earlier, that's why the spread is 9.5.
But it's so much, it's funny, though. Like I feel so different about this game than I did last week's game. And you know how little I thought of Houston. I just didn't think there was a chance. And I don't always think like that either. It's not like I always think the other team has no shot.
Well, you just read Dan Shaughnessy and spew whatever he's selling that week.
Exactly. I don't feel like that about Baltimore yet. Listen, I know tomorrow is the day we make our picks, but I feel almost the same amount of confidence in a win, just not how they're going to win.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
They're not a tomato can.
I didn't think the Patriots.
I don't feel anywhere near as confident.
I didn't think the Patriots had any chance to lose last week. I think they have a chance to lose this week. But I still think they're going to win. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm pretty confident that they're going to win.
That's percentage of chances.
No, I know. That's why.
Percentage of chance that they could lose this game.
See, I was pretty close to like less than 5% last week.
Right.
I'd say 35% chance they lose. 65%.
So you're only at 65 for win.
Right.
You were at 75 last week.
I might be a little higher chance to lose than that, but still thinking the Patriots are going to win.
I'm about 57% win, 43% lose. Some precincts, though, have not announced for Andy.
Okay.
Because I'm still – I got a little trepidation in this game. I don't feel great. I know you guys don't think Gronk matters, but I think
matters. I definitely think Gronk matters.
Here we go. Doesn't matter.
Andy, I mean, Fred
exactly
doesn't think
I
Gronk matters.
I mean, what do you have, like 11 touchdowns?
David Milwaukee writes in, I listened to yesterday's podcast this morning. It's funny how the same game can instill such completely different attitudes among fans. You talked about how you knew the game was over halfway through the third quarter. I, on the other hand, found myself biting my nails through the entirety of the game to the point my girlfriend demanding that I clean up the area after the game.
Ew.
To me, no lead is safe with this team, regardless of the quarterback they're playing. Okay, maybe a lead against Sanchez is safe. But other than that, Flacco, Shaw, Manning, all the same. I run situations through my head like, okay, if the defense lets up a touchdown here, then the offense goes 3-and-out. There will still be enough time in the clock for the Texans to score 2 touchdowns. I know I shouldn't feel like this, but I think it stems from Bill's defensive philosophy with the lead. Paul talks about how he hates coaches that play not to lose, which is exactly how I categorize the defense playing when they have a lead. Far too conservative and content with allowing big chunks of yards in any given play.
Which is it? Are they too conservative, or are they allowing too big of chunks of yardage? Because if you're playing conservatively, you don't allow the big chunks of yardage.
Well, no, that's the prevent.
You don't allow chunks of yardage in the prevent. That's my point.
Okay. I'd still like more pressure up front with blitz packages occasionally and play to win.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you could have watched the second half. Once they got the interception from Ninkovich, and by the way, I thought the game was over on the field goal attempt in the first quarter. So maybe I'm not the best gauge of this, but the Ninkovich interception to me, and then the subsequent touchdown, 31-13. I'm sorry. I don't know how you could not have been confident as a Patriots fan that the game was over.
Mike in Maryland, yesterday you were discussing your lack of belief in the Falcons. I haven't seen a ton of their games this year, but I'm curious what you guys think about their secondary and defense in general. I remember watching them play the Broncos early in the season and being very impressed with the defensive backs' coverage and how well the squad confused Manning's reads. Was that the game where he had the 3 interceptions in
the first quarter, and then he ripped them apart the rest of the game? Yeah, the Falcons, I think their strength of the defense is in the secondary. But I'm not overly impressed with their defense in general. And John Abraham's injury has hurt them. They didn't get any pressure on the passer. He got hurt in the last game of the season. Why are you looking at me like that? He got hurt the last game of the season, then he re-injured the ankle in that game against Seattle. I don't know what his availability is going to be. Maybe he's fine, and maybe he just didn't play well the other day, but they got no pressure.
So he would not be a player to watch.
They had to really sell out to blitz to get pressure on Russell Wilson, and he's a tough guy to blitz because he's pretty slippery, and I thought he made some good plays out of the pocket in that comeback. I do think Robinson and Asante and that Thomas Dekou, I don't know a lot about him, but it seems like he makes plays every time I watch the Falcons.
Yeah, he's their leading pick guy.
Yeah, he's a pretty good safety based on what I've seen, and I don't watch the Falcons every week. So.
Silent D, Dekou?
Dekou.
Dekou. Can we get to Eric with a practice update? He is here.
Eric's here with his red polo and the waffle shirt underneath, and a shirt underneath that one too, right? Oh, his mic's not on, and Kevin's not here, so we can't talk.
We'll get to the practice update. Oh, yeah.
I'll just use Paul's mic for a sec here.
It's cute, you guys sharing a mic.
Gronk, obviously not there. Rookie Alfonso Dennard, the only other guy not there.
Yeah, oh. No es bueno.
A little surprising. Thought he played pretty much the whole game the other day, no?
Maybe he's ill.
Possibly.
Well, you know. Not injury-related or illness.
Possibly.
That would be good, because otherwise that's not good.
No. No, not at all.
That kind of kills our whole, wow, we're glad McCourty's back at safety now. And
we, yeah, you know. That does put a little damper on things back there. But, I mean, good news, Chandler Jones, yes. Danny Woodhead, yes. Both of those guys hurt the other day. Why is everybody
nothing.
Laughing?
So he was out there, yeah. Chandler Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is that cause for laughter?
No, that's good.
That's very good.
And why are you guys laughing?
We were just concerned about it earlier, talking about he was limping, just walking on the sideline a few days later. What could you expect from him? If he's out there at all, he'll probably be limited and kind of the predicament that puts you in.
Sure. I mean, both of your starting defensive ends, guys who are your best pass rushers, are not 100% at this time of year. That's not a
I don't
good
know.
Time.
I think Ninkovich is pretty close to 100%. Well, I saw him the other day that one where he chased the dive, I was like, right. This is the guy. I mean, a little bit of me was like, you wuss. You looked like you were dead last week, and now you're flying around like Superman.
Well, yeah, but I mean...
You owe me a lunch.
Do I owe him a lunch?
Yeah. Didn't we have a bet, you and me, Andy, about Ninkovich?
I think we did have a bet. Yeah. I think I do owe you a lunch.
You sure do.
You should have cashed in
today. Sorry about that. Yeah, the fact that he's no longer on the injury report, I think, means Fred won the bet.
What was the bet exactly?
I don't know.
You said he wouldn't play.
I'm pretty sure I... Yeah.
Yeah. And don't you have to wear a tutu?
No, that was a different bet.
What was that all about?
No, you have to wear the singlet, and if I wear the tutu,
yeah,
four,
and I'm
four.
I'm game for that.
Okay, bring in a tutu, and I'll put it
oh,
on.
Oh, that's you right. We need one of our callers to send in a tutu. So.
Fo-fo.
All right, great. So what else, Eric? Is that it?
Well, they're on the stadium field today because they're still in the process of clearing off the grass field behind us, which has some snow on there. But, no, that was pretty much it. We saw a little bit of stretching and...
A lot of media?
A little bit more than usual. More cameras, I would say, more TV.
That's what we said. It seemed like there weren't enough people to go with cameras up in the press conference. Yeah. It was like a wall of cameras, and the media didn't feel overly absorbent.
And it thinned out after the first two guys, after Belichick and Brady today in the seated area.
I'm worried about the locker room, though.
That's probably going to be a cluster. Yeah.
You figure in the press box will have that auxiliary seating?
Probably.
Game? Auxiliary, too.
Yeah. So. Down in there where we eat normally?
Yeah. But, oh, yeah. Well, they had some of that last week, but it'll be on steroids this week. It'll be like Lance Armstrong this week.
Yeah. So we'll probably lose our seats. That kind of bothered me. We had these office chairs on wheels, and then they get to this game, and they take those away, and we have these seats that I had to reach up.
Fred, sign on phone books.
I took two reams of paper, and I was sitting on the paper because I couldn't reach my laptop.
It sucked.
Yeah,
because you had to sit like way forward, and you could barely see.
I don't know why some of the new people that came didn't have that.
You couldn't reach your laptop.
Well, you know,
I couldn't see as well as I normally would over my laptop. Well,
I understand why they do it, because they fit more of those chairs in, but nothing changes for us. We have our own little loft area, so we could keep our chairs.
Right.
But it's like you can't put a special note in, leave them in this section.
Right.
Although I bet you they had them next to us.
They did.
I didn't check.
They did.
Interesting. Yeah. So they did put in a special note because not all chairs were replaced.
Next week, you're always the first into the press box. Next week, if I were you, I would switch chairs.
Yes,
I would bring your chairs and put them over there.
I'm not a rabble rouser. I'm just glad I'm in the press box.
I'm not a rabble rouser, but he just complained about it.
Right. And I was sitting on reams of paper.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Let's get to some more emails. Can't answer the phone right now. Kevin's not in the booth, so
it's getting Fred's Qdoba.
I see the phone ringing. If people are trying to call, give it another 10 minutes. He'll be back.
Hey, let's see what's her name again? I forget.
Rachel Nichols. Did you know that her dad is Mike Nichols, the famous screenwriter? Yes.
You
sure about that?
That's absolutely, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And why is he famous?
Is her mom is who?
I don't
or
know.
Or is it her mother or her aunt or something? Diane Sawyer?
Well, yeah, they were married. Yeah. Mike Nichols and Diane Sawyer
were
married.
That's her mom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, her mom is Diane Sawyer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You sure?
I don't see the resemblance.
Well, I know
Eric doesn't see the resemblance. His mic is still not on. I'm just going to translate.
Does she
everybody.
Drink like her mother?
Yeah, but all of a sudden, Eric's interested.
I don't know.
No,
Belichick.
Not interested in her.
All right. Well, okay.
You're not to be mean about
it. He never talks on this show, and now his mic's off, and he decides, I have something to say.
Eric, not interested in Rachel Nichols whatsoever.
Eric, you wouldn't?
Wait, but who's Mike Nichols?
You would?
Neither would you.
Oh, you're bright red.
Why are you so red, Eric?
I'm with Eric.
Why are you so red?
He wouldn't.
Not your shirt.
That's not nice.
I stopped.
I think you would.
More importantly, who's Mike Nichols?
He's like a famous screenwriter.
Okay, what do you write?
Geez, you know, you got me.
He's a famous.
I mean, I know.
A lot of good stuff he's done.
I didn't know if it was her aunt.
He did like,
I knew there was a Diane Sawyer
connection.
Was he like
Barefoot in the Park or something like that? He does a lot of those.
The Graduate, hello.
Oh,
you don't have to talk into the mic. It's not on.
The Graduate, hello,
well, bring
said
over that
Eric.
Other mic, Eric.
That's not on either. Either way, it has to be turned on in there.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know
and
where
he's
he went.
Busy getting your tacos. Did you ever see The Birdcage?
With
Robin Williams.
Nathan Lane.
Yeah, he wrote that mic, yeah.
Now, I'm really going to get made fun of by Matt and Eric here, but a screenwriter writes the production, right? The story is already there.
Sometimes.
Somebody brings them the story, and they turn it into a script.
No, it can be an original screenplay, or it can be
so what does he
an
do?
Adaption. He does original.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think he's more original, right?
Charlie Wilson's War.
Okay.
See that?
He's pretty famous.
Charlie Wilson's War. Ever see that?
Not as famous as his wife or ex-wife.
Primary Colors.
Does he drink too?
Yeah, is it an ex-wife or is it
Diane Sawyer?
Together?
I'm not sure. But why don't you look Rachel Nichols up on Wikipedia and maybe they'll have the info on her, Eric. Because I'm pretty sure her dad is Mike Nichols.
Okay.
It's more interesting if her mom is Diane Sawyer.
Well, and there's a connection to Diane Sawyer. I don't know if it's mother... aunt or
drinking buddy.
Like that.
She watches her on the news.
She is actually
seen. Remember when she was drunk for
election night? There's no doubt in my mind she was drunk.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that it could have been prescription. An unfortunate mix of alcohol and prescription.
Oh, it's always, you know, a painkiller that I was on.
I am using
that
someday. Yeah. If I ever get pulled over, I'm going to say it was an unfortunate
painkillers
mix.
And I got hacked. Those are like the big excuses of the 2000s.
I got hacked.
It's true. That's like PR 101.
Right.
When people do stuff, hacked and painkillers.
Where is Kevin? We need Eric's mic.
It wasn't going to be ready until 1:15. He went to see if it was early.
Oh.
So he's not going to be here. Eric, just go in there and start pushing buttons. Just touch
this
stuff.
This ought to be good.
It's what Laura used to do.
Asher in Illinois, how well do you think we'll be able to run on the Ravens defense, given the fact that they have a good D and that Gronk is out? We might not have that much success. However, if the Ravens overplay the passing game and we spread the defense out, I think we can run on it with relative ease. Also, with all the non-porn star Jake Steele's coming out of the woodwork, I would like to point out that the first Google result for Jake Steele is a Twitter profile, Jake Steele XXX.
Thank you, Andy Wright, again. It doesn't say intramural softball player.
I think the
Brett
Ravens
says
defense
Rachel
is
Nichols
not...
is the daughter of Jane and Ronald Jacobs, so Fred doesn't know what he's talking about.
Well, okay, is that better?
Yes.
I can hear you.
Yeah, the first Rachel Nichols that pops up is this actress who looks nothing like that Rachel Nichols who's on ESPN.
Okay.
And she's age 33. That's not helping me.
No, this one says Rachel Nichols is a 1991 graduate of Winston Churchill High School in Potomac, Maryland, and graduated from blah, 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 School of Journalism.
She
married music executive Max Nichols, son
Mike Nichols.
Of film stage director Mike Nichols.
So
father-in-law.
Okay,
father-in-law.
So father-in-law
she married
is
into
Mike
the
Nichols.
Nichols family.
Okay.
There you go.
That's better. Now I don't think that she just got her job for her parents.
And just for clarification, I said, I know there's some connection to Diane Sawyer.
And Diane Sawyer
I didn't know what it was.
Diane Sawyer is her stepmother-in-law.
Okay.
There you go.
Anne was drunk on election night.
But she was still drunk on election night, I have no doubt.
Okay, so that's the connection. It's not blood.
Okay.
It's not blood. Okay, but that's still pretty cool.
Sure.
You know, to have that connection. So she's married, Eric. I didn't know she was married.
That's
too
good
bad.
For her.
She's also 20 years too old for Eric.
That's true.
Yeah, we're about the same age, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so she's out of the running.
Well, she might not be quite as old as you, but she's still out of the running.
73, it said.
Oh. Tree Hugger in Oregon
she's
writes
39?
In,
I guess. That's what it said.
I thought she was younger than that.
She looks younger.
She looks younger. She seems younger. And interesting.
Tree Hugger.
What do you think of her work?
She's okay. She's not bad. I think she's gotten a lot better than when she first started.
Oh, I think she's terrible.
Oh, you think she's terrible?
Maybe the worst they have.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, no. Of the older people, the people they've had for a while, she's the worst.
See, I look at all, they have a cast of millions over there, but like the people that go to different NFL games, like Ed Werder, Sal Pal, Rachel Nichols.
But there's another one she's better
that
than.
That group.
Hosea.
Josina Anderson.
She's terrible.
You know.
Andy and Paul being sexist. The men are good. The women suck.
She's way down.
Check. I'm giving the check.
Check on female ESPN reporters. No, that's not true because I like a lot of the females. What's her name's very good. Susie Culber is very good.
Yeah.
Way better than her.
Yeah.
In all aspects.
Oh, God, yeah.
Andy having problems again.
Love the Susie.
She doesn't really report anymore, though, Susie. She's more like a studio host.
Well, she does the sidelines for something. She doesn't do Sunday Night Football?
I don't think she does that anymore, does she?
No, Lisa Salters kind of took that over,
right? I saw her this year on a sideline. Maybe it was an extra game. Maybe it was one of their doubleheaders.
Maybe it was a doubleheader week.
And there it is.
Tree Hugger in Oregon says, before I get to the Ravens, I want to give a quick shout-out to Kyle Arrington for his role in tracking down Manning on that first kickoff. That wasn't Arrington.
That was McCourty.
Well, what was his role? Is he saying he had
a role? Oh, okay. Although praise is rightly going to McCourty for making the touchdown-saving tackle, if you look at the replay, it was Arrington streaking from the middle of the field who forced Manning into McCourty, who was pursuing down the sideline. Just thought I'd give Kyle a little love. Wait, Kyle Love?
Kyle anyway. Love?
On to the championship game. I have to say that I feel very confident against the Ravens. I usually have guarded expectations of a typical Boston sports fan, but for some reason, this week, I have no doubt that the Patriots will dispatch the Ravens immediately following the Texans victory. I told my 13-year-old son I thought the spread would come out at about 10 points. I guess Las Vegas more or less agrees. I know you all have your nagging doubts. Without giving away your picks, what percentage chance do you give the Patriots of a victory on Sunday? We just did that.
57.
I say 65.
Somewhere in the middle.
Paul didn't give one as usual.
Yeah, I never have any opinions.
Because he hates predictions.
Well, he doesn't know fractions.
That's right. Percentages. They didn't go over that in Everett. Eric, you want to chime in? Your mic works now.
51%.
51% the Patriots?
That means he's picking the Ravens. He's going to flip-flop by tomorrow. He's going to go 51-49 the other way.
Okay.
I'm predicting.
You're predicting my prediction?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
All right.
I'm predicting his prediction.
Well, all of Patriots Nation are waiting for your prediction because you're most of the time.
I think there's a...
anyway, he's the only one that picked the Ravens to beat the Broncos.
He's also the only one that picked the Patriots season to end last week.
Well, that's true.
No, that's inaccurate.
No, it was early
because you changed
him to win.
Because you changed it. From 3 weeks earlier.
No, 3 weeks earlier, it was dependent on their having lost to the Texans the first time. So when that didn't happen, that went out the window.
I don't know.
No, I do know. I made the prediction. If they lost to the Texans on Monday night in December, then the Texans would get the number one seed. New England would have to go to Houston for the AFC title game, and that's when they would lose. That was the basis of the prediction.
All right,
don't give me the breathing. I know what I predicted,
Eric. Knowing what you know now, do you really think the Patriots would have lost?
I learned it by watching you.
Jesus.
Do you really think the Patriots would have lost to Houston in Houston? Still?
He absolutely
did. I did at the time.
Now, I'm saying. Now, knowing what you know now.
No, obviously not.
Yeah, but that's not fair.
The game already took place.
No, I know, but I'm just...
He said it beforehand, thus a prediction.
No, I know. I'm just wondering...
I thought why do I keep saying the Ravens? I thought the Texans were a better team than they had been down the stretch.
But you were wrong.
Yes, I was wrong.
Okay. So.
Yes.
Which is why we...
Did I throw your curveball there?
When you start out by saying, you're the only one who's right most of the time.
That's why we laughed.
Now, let's laugh at you because you're not getting lunch.
Oh, really? What's going on?
No staff can eat, Stace said.
Did he really say that?
Yeah. There's not enough food. So B-Lo and me and the rest of the crew.
So now's the time where we're staff, we're not media. Just want to, for the record, that fine line we walk, we're now staff today, not media, just so you know.
I'm shocked.
Wait a minute. How could you possibly be shocked?
It's never happened before.
But this,
that's what she
this specific thing has never happened before, I agree. This is typical of the way things happen around here all the time.
Post
no, you
some
won't.
Stupid press release about.
No,
no
you
not,
won't.
Because
no,
you're a team player.
We won't, because you'll do what the.
You are a team
you know
player.
Why, Fred?
Team PFW is a team.
Because you'll do what Andy, Eric, and I do. We'll do the right thing. When it comes time to do whatever we have to do.
B-Lo is not happy either.
So. Oh, B-Lo. Let's call him.
Because we're not jerks.
Get him to come on.
But you
I'm with you, Fred. I'm going to faint too.
You can't be stunned.
I am a
you
little
can't
bit.
Be. This is not the first time this has happened.
How can you not order enough food for AFC Championship week?
But they
I, thought
used to...
were, I thought you were ordering from the other place.
Oh, I did.
We already
oh,
ate.
Already ate.
We already ate.
I sat here
Andy
while
and
they
I
were
already
eating,
ate.
Hoping to get food.
If you want to order something, put it on Paul's
and
card.
And I offered.
The worst part about it, Eric, was I stood in line for like 15 minutes. The line is like epic.
And then did you get a tap on the shoulder?
Yes.
That's unbelievable.
You're kidding
but
me.
You don't, see,
not kidding
this isn't even unprecedented. They used to ration out the pizza. Don't you remember that?
Well, yeah.
We couldn't get the same amount of pizza as everybody else.
Somebody else was here that
yeah I know
was,
yeah.
Yeah, mom was here
that
and she
is,
was yelling at
that
me.
Is a complete
she wouldn't just yell at us she would yell at
that,
anybody
that
my mom was
true.
Never that mean so don't call her mom
just so you know mom took orders from somebody so you, even that's not true
yeah,
I know for
sure
I saw
did.
It mom took orders from somebody on that
wow oh they'll be I will complain
yes.
It's okay when it happens to him
right.
It's worth
Well, no, it didn't happen to just me. It
now,
happened
now
to all the staff.
Now it's not funny. Let's make fun of Paul for
right.
getting his nose bent out of joint. Now what happened
I just
to Fred.
I just wish they would have told me like 15 minutes ago instead of.
Well, yeah. Right. Yeah, that's another thing. It's like, by the way. You guys
or
are,
last night, so you could bring a lunch
right.
if you wanted to bring a lunch.
Yeah, that would be
because
better.
Because for 10 years,
it's
when
been
there's
pizza.
Been media lunch,
I've gone up the
we've
last
eaten
three
it
years.
Because,
yeah.
I don't know, you treat us like media.
Oh, Paul.
Now all of a sudden we're not
Conrad
media.
Bain died.
Oh, him? Mr. Drummond.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Drummond. 89.
Oh.
Yeah, he seemed like he was 89
when he
was
on
Drummond.
Yeah.
That's the end of the bait.
It's also
of his
on
existence.
Maude.
And then there's Maude.
I saw you. I see what you did there.
Matt says, have you heard any updates on Danny Woodhead? I remember reading that he could have returned later in the game if they needed him versus the Texans, but Shane Vereen stepped up and ended scoring up three TDs. What do you think we should all expect to see this Sunday against the Ravens? More Woody, more Vereen, or a mix?
Probably a mix.
Well, the update is from Eric in that he was out at practice.
Right.
So
anything around his hand
good.
Or anything like that?
Tough to see. He was on the far end.
You
have
your binoculars?
Yeah, but it's still
there. Binoculars.
That wasn't funny.
That's what he said.
I know, but it wasn't funny.
Of course, he also said the prevent defense instead of the prevent.
I did not notice anything unusual about him.
Okay.
His hand.
Eric, I needed you yesterday to call the Felger Show.
Why?
Because he was reading the endless excerpts from Terry Francona's book.
Yeah.
But probably a dozen times called it an excerpt.
Excerpt?
Excerpt.
Oh, good God.
And it was paining me. And I'm not at your pompous level of correcting
Andy,
people.
Andy was very upset.
Like, it was, I mean, I don't think that's a word that A, is all that difficult to know, but B, you're reading an excerpt, so I'm guessing somewhere it said, here's an excerpt.
Yeah.
Like, you read the word and just chose to... Remove
does
the P.
Does he think the P is silent?
I don't know.
Has he never heard the word spoken before?
But the worst part is Tony Maserati and the Beatle and all these guys, he's on live TV,
nobody
live radio,
anything.
And nobody says, Mike, that's not the word. You're not saying the word right.
An excerpt?
I was hoping you would call in.
Well, I don't listen.
Maybe they didn't want to do that for that reason. Then you would make fun of the people correcting them for being pompous.
No, I wouldn't. To me, that's embarrassing.
No, this one was worth
that's an embarrassing level. Especially
world,
as I
to
said,
Andy.
You read it. Here's the excerpt from Sports Illustrated. The excerpt. Excerpt. It's an interesting excerpt, and it's an excerpt. It's not the word.
The things that get you go.
And especially on that
never
show, where it's like this. They joke around. They take shots at each other.
Sure.
Somebody should have joked. Mike, that's
do you want
not
me to bring it up today?
Yes, please do.
I'll probably.
You're going to be on with them?
Yeah. Plus, they're going to make fun of me for the Manning loss. Because I said that I didn't think Manning was a choker, and then he went out and choked.
Did you say you didn't think Raheem Moore was a choker?
Yeah, but I can make that argument all I want, but Manning still choked in overtime, so.
He wouldn't have had the opportunity to choke if Raheem Moore hadn't choked.
Now, if I were Felger, I would focus on Raheem Moore.
Well, Felger can't talk about anything, because his whole Joe Flacco, Tim Tebow, like, he has all these stupid quarterbacks that he loves. He
How
hates.
About this one?
Winning
now?
Matters. Winning doesn't matter. Completion percentage matters. It doesn't matter. Touchdowns matter. Big plays matter. Timing. You know, he changes his argument so often. I don't know what matters with him. He's such a contrarian, muckraking.
Well, how about now?
He's excerpt still, reading.
He thinks that Baltimore's going to win, which is fine that he thinks that, but he still thinks Flacco stinks. And he says, I know it just runs totally contradictory. I think nothing of Flacco, but I think the Ravens are going to win.
So what's he basing that on?
I've also heard him preach the importance of quarterback play in the NFL. And he thinks the guy stinks, but he's going to pick that guy to win on the road in the postseason against Brady in New England. So that makes a lot of sense, too.
What he's basing it on, Fred, is the fact that he can't say it because he refuses to admit it. But Flacco doesn't stink.
Right.
And he knows it, but he just can't say it.
But and he thinks Tebow's really good.
Right. Which he actually stinks.
Well, that's what I got him on last
if
week.
He
I said
Tebow's good.
So it's all
Flacco's
about
elite.
I told him last week.
Because it's all about winning.
It's
and
all
Flacco,
about winning.
What is it? Five postseasons with a victory and
yeah,
three AFC title games.
You know what I got?
And
you know what I got? What does that get him?
Well, what does Tebow get?
It advances him in the playoffs every year.
Tebow backed into the postseason his 1 year as a starter and his great 8-5 record as a starter. What does that get you?
The two of them, they really are an exercise in hostility.
Mike,
they make me seem all nice and warm and cuddly.
It is a good show for your for you. Because they have no facts or reason, and you bring generally facts and reason to the table. So that
wow.
makes you look better.
Thank you, Andy.
They are more stubborn than you are, which is unbelievable you could find somebody like that.
You know, I said that last week. I said it's amazing that because I fully recognize that that is a big flaw in my character. I am ridiculously stubborn. I can't believe how stubborn they are. Like,
and that makes you look better.
Like if I just went in today and just said, listen, this was that wasn't about Peyton Manning. It wasn't a choice. That's just being over-the-top stubborn. He threw a terrible interception in overtime that cost his team the game. You can't possibly ignore that. But they would. If, right. if the shoe was on the right. other foot, they would focus on the safety and all that.
Mikey Vandalism in East Haven, Connecticut. What's up, guys? Are you ready for some premium game this weekend?
Hope so.
I was curious about the reports about the Patriots bringing in Brian Daboll. Why was he brought in, and how can he contribute to the offense with Josh there? Also, can he step in immediately and coach through the playoffs? Thanks, and let's get two more wins and get it done. Yeah, he can step in immediately.
Yes, yes. Extra set of eyes, yeah. An extra system guy.
What do you think he will be doing now?
Helping.
This year.
Consulting. But I think he's basically a consultant.
Well, yeah, but like in what?
Game planning, on-field coaching.
I mean, what does he have to add that they don't already know?
Knowledge, experience. I mean, he's played these teams. I don't know the exact schedules this year, but I mean, he's been in the league every year. He's played these teams. He has a background in the system. He has a background in the personnel around the league. I mean, he's just a knowledgeable system guy that knows how things work here. You don't have to teach him. You know, I'm guessing not much has changed here since when he left, even though it was still, whatever, five
but,
or six
years
ago.
But, you know, last year when they brought in Josh McDaniels, obviously O'Brien was leaving, so he was going to transition into that slot. So, that, you know, you could clear reason why you brought him in.
But I don't think there was a lot of transition involved last January. I think Josh was helping Bill do the job, Bill O'Brien. I think and the relationship that Josh has with Daboll, I think, will help him do the job.
Okay.
Whether it's, you know, dealing with different positions, trusting his views on things, just throwing ideas, you know, here's what we tried against, whatever. I think he's literally a consultant.
All right. Sean in California, simple question. Who wins if the Ravens played the Texans? I ask because, and I may be off base here, but the two teams seem to have a lot of similarities. Strong defense, some solid offensive weapons, and a wishy-washy quarterback. Do you think this Sunday's game could be similar to last Sunday's?
No.
Who won the regular season matchup?
The Texans blew them out. It was the first game after all the injuries, though. It was the very first game after Webb, Lewis, Nada, uh-huh. and they all got hurt in the Dallas game, and that was the first game after that.
Logan from Indiana,
like
I have more confidence.
And I don't buy I don't really buy the Schaub Flacco comparisons.
I think Flacco's much better.
Well, I think he's better probably, but I think physically they're very different. One is a guy who makes his money down the field; the other guy can't make any money down the field. And I think one probably has to some degree balls to a fault in terms of Flacco. An issue on that side, and the other guy's a punani to a fault. So I think they're very different guys.
Plus, you have to look at the head coaches too. I mean, yeah. Harbaugh's going to do stuff that Kubiak won't.
Yeah, I don't see the flack. I mean, where they're the same is that they're second tier or, you know, guys trying to chip away at becoming top-level quarterbacks. That's where they're in the same class, I think.
Logan in Indiana, I have more confidence that the Patriots will win this weekend, and here's why. Number one, I think the Patriots' defense is better this year than it was last year. Last year, this defense couldn't stop my Division III alma mater, Adrian College. However, this year we could at least stop a Division I team. Reason B, I think their receivers are better this year. Yes, we'll be without Gronk, but I think Lloyd is better than Ocho Stinko, and Vereen is showing up more in the passing game. Finally, I just have a better feeling going into this game than last year. I think this last year's team was not as good, and I did not expect them to be in the AFC Championship. My prediction, 24-32, Patriots win. Preamble the J.
I think that's losing.
I really agree with point number one, not so much two or three. I think their defense is better than it was last year.
I do too.
Tammy in New York.
Wait, is the Ravens' offense better
than last year?
Yeah,
I think it is.
Me too.
I do too.
It is.
Tammy in New York. I was listening to Dan Patrick's show this morning, and he asked a question which I thought was interesting and would like to get your feeling about it. Which QB is under more pressure this Sunday to win, Tom Brady or Joe Flacco? I feel the pressure is more on Flacco than Tom, only because I feel Tom has been there and done that before, but Flacco and the Ravens have been there so many times but have yet to take that step, but also because of the Ray Lewis retirement. What say you? And by the way, I got my iPad for my birthday, and I downloaded Patriots Football Daily. I love it. Patriots Football
Thank you.
Daily.
Daily.
Who's under more pressure to
Flacco.
Win? Flacco.
Or yeah, I don't
Flacco.
Think there's any question.
She made a good argument there.
I think Flacco, but I don't think either one of them is under any additional pressure other than the game, the moment. I think an AFC Championship game brings a lot of pressure, but
sure.
Flacco isn't supposed to win Sunday. He's not going to be vilified unless he completely unravels and costs his team the game. That could be bad going into a free agent year. That could be bad, you know. But I think this is another sort of overachieving Ravens team that probably shouldn't be here, and if they lose, I don't think it's necessarily a full indictment on Joe Flacco. But Brady, you know, what does he got to prove? You know, that I mean, I know that they're really wanting that extra Super Bowl, you know, another Super Bowl to sort of tie Bradshaw and Montana and all that. But
if the Patriots win, does that prove there is no God?
No, why would it prove that?
Well, because Ray always, you know, thinks that God is with
him. But you know that, like, that whole thing, it's not like, and I know that's the knee-jerk reaction. I think Ray, he was utterly ridiculous after the game the other day. No weapons and all that crap. And he threw the sal in there for you, Eric.
Yep.
But he's not saying that God wanted the Ravens to win. That's not what he's saying.
I don't know. It seems pretty close to me.
It's just like the guys that were in here talking like that. They didn't think God wanted the Patriots to win. No, but don't you think that that's the first reaction you get from the media types that get tired of that? I hate when the media brings religion when the players bring religion up. And matter of fact, right. Tyrone Poole, I was one of the guys he used to make fun of. I see you guys roll your eyes when I – yeah, I did, because I asked you a question about covering somebody. It didn't have anything to do with your faith. I'm not dismissing your faith. I just wasn't asking you about it.
Right.
And that's why I got tired of it. But it's not like the guys that are really spiritual think that God wants them to win. And that's the knee-jerk reaction of the media. Like, oh, he only wants you to win. He didn't want the Broncos to win, Ray. That's, you know, how many guys did you hear say that?
Yeah, but do you really think
on Sunday?
You know, at the end of a game when you're coming down the wire and you pray to God that he's going to answer your prayers rather than the other teams?
I also don't think too many people actually pray to God.
I think people do.
I don't.
Well, I think guys like Ray Lewis do.
Well, maybe. I just don't
think
a lot of
people do. Guys like Rodney Harrison do.
I'm not sure Rodney did.
I think a lot of people
do. I think guys with legitimate spirituality
See, I think guys with legitimate spirituality know God's not going to.
But it's not.
It's in his hands already.
Exactly.
I don't need to pray to him
That's
right
what I'm
now
saying. They're not
for Vinatieri
saying
to make this kick. I have faith in God. God's path is the one that I will follow. If he wants this to win and me to go to the Super Bowl, it will. If not, it won't. I don't need to pray right
might,
here.
See, I might
anything.
Be naive, okay? But I don't think that Ray Lewis is praying to God to get him to the Super Bowl. I think he's praying to God to do the right to take care of me and my my friends.
Right.
Right.
If
now.
God gives us free will, and I think it's your,
it's your will.
I think he does that every day of his life.
But
I don't
think he does it at the end of a football game. But I'm not an overly spiritual person, and I'm not going
to
try to pretend. And maybe Eric, you can help me out here because you're definitely more spiritual than I am. But I think that what Ray Lewis is talking about is like Billy Cundiff misses that kick. Before that kick, I don't think that he's praying, "Can you please, God, make him make this kick?"
Right.
He's thinking, "God, regardless of what happens, please take care of me. Take care of Billy. Take care of the Ravens right now. And in regardless of what happens, make sure that we make it through this process, you know, for lack of a better word." I don't think he's saying, "God, please let the Patriots lose and the
that's
Ravens win."
That's what you're saying. You think
that
people
but that's
do
not,
that.
But Fred's being sarcastic. Fred doesn't really
think
that.
Genuine.
I think some of them, like, thank God and you know for giving us this win.
No,
and,
see, I think it's,
I don't
for,
think
it's for making sure that we're okay.
And
it's
I don't think
will.
The
it's
real
your plan.
Ones.
It's God's plan. How many times have you heard
I don't think guys
say
that.
That
have real faith do that.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. The real spirituality, that's what they're talking about.
You know, and I've never really paid attention, but maybe now I will, when they interview the losing guys, if they're out there thanking
God. I think the real guys do it all the time.
Absolutely.
And that's when they say it's his – that's when they bring
it's
up
his
the plan.
It's his plan.
They have – because you don't understand why – bad things are happening to you, but you have to accept that it's
give
part of
give me the strength to make it through this.
Yeah.
Give Billy, and I think Ray Lewis said that
he
in
did.
The locker room.
Oh, he definitely
give
did.
Billy, it's not about two guys,
right.
But give us the strength to,
wow,
to overcome
really
this.
Bought into the whole Lewis thing.
I'm the first guy. I did a 180 flip flop on Ray Lewis. There's no question. I hated the man as much as you could hate a football player, and now I respect the hell out of him.
But I also do think that there are players I think who are legitimately spiritual, who really want to win the Super Bowl and who really pray for their kicker to make the kick.
And I think Rodney was a little like that with his spirituality. I think Rodney was a legitimate spiritual person who was – it's his will. It's his plan. Tyrone Poole I used to get mad at because he once said to Andy and among others, "Well, you could leave here and get hit by a bus tomorrow and die," or something along those lines. I don't think guys with true spirituality talk like that. I don't think they say things like that. So I thought he was a fraud.
All right. Glad I brought that up. Web Radio at Patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Gabe's in Minnesota. Hey, Gabe.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Great.
Hey, just a quick note on what you guys are talking about with the athletes and spirituality and stuff. I think that there's certain ones that are very genuine about it, others that it kind of comes off as maybe just a ruse, you know?
Like Tebow?
Tebow, I always had a tough time with. Like, I think he's sincere, but he's way too, like, I'm a Christian, and I sometimes would cringe at some of the things he would say because, guys, we're talking football here. You don't need to go into something else. And Kurt Warner was probably the best example, I would say, where he did mention his faith, but he also kept it about football as well. He had a good blend there. But I also just wanted to say I'm looking forward to the game. I can't believe how nervous I am. I shouldn't be, but I just it any given Sunday things happen, so I'm excited. But one thing I want to ask you guys about: isn't Brandon Lloyd like the most interesting athlete you've seen on the field? Like, he's just a specimen. He's like a snake out there. I don't know. There's something about him.
He's unbelievably
he's
athletic
snaker, right?
in limber. The way he can contort in the air and get his feet down, and it absolutely is amazing. But I wish he'd get his feet down and run after he caught it.
I know. Why won't he run? He just falls there. Hey, he's catching them. That's what we're happy about. Ocho Cinco wasn't catching them.
Right.
What would we do without that 6.4 yards?
Thanks for the call, Gabe. Gabe from Minnesota.
He's the only deep threat who has a lower yards per catch than a third down back in the history of the league.
Yeah, that's I don't see the Brandon Lloyd love. I don't get that.
I still say if we could get a camera, the one thing I'd like to show viewers is your reaction when he falls down after catching a ball.
Or when the ball's in the air and he's like stumbling.
He's already going to his knees when the ball's halfway there.
Get up!
Matt in San Diego State University. The Chiefs played the Ravens earlier this year in that miserable 9-6 loss by the Chiefs. Maybe that experience can help, talking about Dable.
Right.
And Chris says...
the Patriots played the Ravens, too.
Chris from Milford,
Connecticut. No, but that's my point. He has experience in whatever.
Oh, he
not
has experience in the Patriots.
Game, but he has experience in the league. He's played against these players. He's schemed against them and things. You know, if Josh goes, "We're going to do X," and Dable goes, "Well, just so you know, I'm not saying you shouldn't.
You know, but when we were in Cleveland, we did that, and here's what happened. Whatever. It's a consultant.
Has anyone brought up the Belichick speculation with Daboll?
Oh, yeah. Well,
we talked about that yesterday.
We have either Josh leaving to become a head coach and Daboll becomes offensive coordinator, or Bill getting promoted or retiring or whatever, and Josh is the coach in waiting, and Fred goes, that's not his decision to make.
Josh leaving for an NFL job? Because there's only like one left, right?
I don't know.
Arizona?
Jets will let. Well, oh. They were even saying Jason Garrett's future is still uncertain in Dallas.
Yeah, I think they would have made a move by now.
Jacksonville?
They don't have Jacksonville and Arizona, right?
Right.
Because Chicago just hired theirs. The Eagles just hired theirs.
Browns.
San Diego hired McCoy. Chiefs hired theirs.
So, yeah, there's probably two left.
And I don't.
But to be fair, there were four when we talked about it.
Right.
Oh, there were? Yeah, oh, yeah, it was yesterday.
Yeah.
That's true.
Interesting hirings, too, just real quick. Like the Trestman one.
I thought, you know.
He's a big Lombardi guy. Remember, every time he's on, great Bill Walsh once said, the best way to become a head coach and don't matter where it is, just prove you can be a head coach. And he did that, and he's getting rave reviews from a lot of his former
quarterbacks. I'm surprised he wasn't a head coaching candidate a long time ago, like when he was, you know, running San Francisco's offense back in the mid-90s. I'm surprised it took him this long.
Well, it's not exactly the career path of choice.
A lot of quarterbacks have had their best years under his watch, and they had a big montage on ESPN about it.
No, he's been very good with quarterbacks.
Not just San Francisco,
but usually,
where anybody could have succeeded.
Usually you don't go to Canada, and then next stop is right. – I mean, it's if you're going to do that, sometimes it's NCAA,
that's
college.
Well, that's what I mean. I thought, given his success in the NFL before, that he would have been a head coaching – a name that you hear more of.
That's probably why he went to Canada and
maybe
decided to be a head coach. And
he had success there, too.
Yeah.
So.
But I know the last guy bombed. I saw those tweets last night.
The last CFL coach to come back here?
The last guy to go directly from CFL head coach to NFL head coach was, I don't know, like 83, some guy, and he was like 08-1 or something.
Well, Marv Levy did pretty well. Bud Grant did pretty well.
Didn't know either one of those guys started in Canada.
Yeah, before they went to – came to the NFL, they were both in Canada. Hey.
Sure.
Chris in Milford, Connecticut. I wanted to reference a little bit back to what Mikey Vandalism was saying about the Daboll hire. Yesterday, you guys were alluding to Josh getting a head coaching job. Didn't he make an announcement a few weeks ago that he would be staying in New England and is not interested in a head coaching job?
No.
Well,
he said he would not be interviewing
then.
Right.
At that point.
Right. So where would Daboll fit? Also, with talking with a few Boston media members in the past few months, everyone seems to believe that Belichick wants to win a Super Bowl without Brady to prove something. So I don't think Bill would be gone and definitely won't be going anywhere anytime soon and will outlast Brady. What are your thoughts? I particularly would like to hear Andy's thoughts. Love the good keep up the awesome work. Go Pats, F the Jets.
I don't think anybody knows, first of all, that Bill wants to win a Super Bowl without Brady or any plans in that nature. And I don't think anybody but Bill can know when he's leaving. I know, Fred, you're big on he's not going anywhere anytime soon. I don't buy that because I only think one person knows, and between those 2 years, you don't know how he's going to react if he wins, if he loses. He may have plans right now to be at the Combine in February, and he may get blown out in the Super Bowl, and that's it, I'm done. Or he may blow somebody out in the Super Bowl and say, that's it, I'm done. Or he may show up at the Combine like he's planned. I find it hard to believe that all this scheming and, I don't know, I just don't buy it. And I don't buy that anyone knows. I don't buy that, no offense to Jonathan, no offense to Robert, no offense to anybody. I think it's Bill
that
knows.
I really don't think they know.
I bet you Linda doesn't know. I bet you Steve doesn't know. I don't think anybody knows except Bill, and I don't think Bill knows.
Well, no, you can wake up one day and say, you know what, I've had it.
Yeah.
He's at the liberty to do that.
Right.
There's no doubt about it. But what do you think?
I think that's the way it's going to happen. He's going to wake up one day because he always talks about how much he loves the whole process.
Right.
You know, and Andy brought up the combine. He loves that.
Yeah.
He loves the offseason as much as he loves, you know, the fourth quarter of a tight game. It's all the same to him. It's all part of the process. I think one day he's going to wake up and say, you know what? I don't feel like watching tape on these college kids. I don't feel like self-scouting throughout the month of March. I don't feel like getting ready for training camp. And whatever that happens, I think he's just going to walk away. Right.
But what do you think? Do you think that that's
sooner or
later?
I think
it's later.
I think he's...
Well, what's later?
I think he's got three to five to ten years from now.
I don't think it's that long.
I don't think it's going to take that long.
Really? 3 to 5 is my range.
Okay.
But I don't think he's going anywhere right now.
Okay.
But I won't be stunned if February 6th or 7th or whatever, if he did it.
I would be.
I'll be stunned, but I won't be stunned, if that makes sense. Like, the reality of it would be like, holy crap, he's not the coach
anymore. Once you have time to think about it, be like, okay.
Yeah. I just think it could happen. And you know, there could be some other factors. You know, I know we joke about it, but stupid stuff. You know, the league enacts X, Y, and Z in the offseason, and he's just like, you know what? This isn't the league I came into. This isn't the game I love. This is sucking the fun out of it. I don't want to do this anymore.
From now on, teams are just going to take over on the 20-yard line after a touchdown.
He seemed like he was having fun Sunday night. I thought he enjoyed Sunday, the aspect of Sunday. He does. He doesn't always seem like he does.
Emil Carlson from Denmark writes in, I know you guys knock on McCourty a lot and like Tlaib.
Did he say McCourty?
Yeah, it was
kind
a little
of a
in between.
Hybrid.
Yeah.
And you like Tlaib, but please look at the stats and coverage, the plays called and so on. As much as I love you guys tend to hate on players without cause.
Wait, who are we hating
on? First of all, we've been gushing about how good McCourty's been at safety.
He says, McCourty is the best defensive back stats-wise and coverage-wise. Your good friend from the Boston Globe, Greg Bedard, has even said he will become an elite safety if he stays there.
He also said that he played great against Baltimore in the first game.
Right. Fred, did he play great against Baltimore in the first game?
No, he did not.
Thank you. No further questions.
So.
And who are we hating on? I forget.
McCourty.
Oh, McCourty is a corner I hate on. I'm sorry. I'm 2 years into it, and I think he's not very good at cornerback. If that's hating, then yes, I hate. And as far as Tlaib goes, I've been kind of hating on him because I think the play of the defense has been better, but not because he's been great. This past week, I thought he did his job about as well as anyone could ask you to cover one-on-one Andre Johnson.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I don't think that his play specifically, individually, has been anything special, but I do think the trickle-down of his presence has made the secondary better.
Correct.
Not just because McCourty's been better at safety, but, you know, Dennard moving in, Arrington playing less on the outside, you know, the fact that Chung hasn't been in there because you've had McCourty back, because I think Chung was struggling.
Why are you hating on Chung?
I'm not hating on anybody. I just think the whole now is better than the whole was before Tlaib got here.
And the whole is better than the parts of Tlaib.
No question the whole is better than the parts, period.
We got holes and we got parts.
Right? On defense, the whole is better than the parts.
Let's see.
In the back end.
Dave in West Virginia, I was listening
I guess you're right.
I was listening to
the whole 98. The back end is better than the parts.
Because if
the
I kept going
end.
With that, I was going to be, I'm hating on everybody.
Paul thinks the defense stinks.
No, I think the whole is greater than the parts. That's not derogatory.
But the whole is 29th in passing yards.
I think they play better than their individual talent would lead you to believe. Let's put it that way.
David, West Virginia, I was listening to 98.5, the Sports Hub, and one Michael Felger was on his Peyton Manning and the Broncos have a small penis rant. And then what
he
do
that?
I hear?
Probably.
They mentioned the Hall of Famer Paul Perillo being a Manning apologist. And to quote Felger, Peyton Manning is Perillo's guy. I've been listening to
PFW. This is what they do also when you're not there to defend yourself.
I've
heard a little of this yesterday.
I've been listening to PFW for a long time, and I've always thought Paul's opinion of Manning was fair. He's good, but he thinks Brady is better.
Thank you. Who's this?
But being his guy, WTF. I also have a question for Eric. When does the schedule for the 2013 season come out? Eric doesn't know what's going on here.
Eric?
We were talking about Ask PFW the other day, and that you get upset when people ask you that question over and over again.
Because it's never changed in the history of the league.
Right. <told you. laughs> Exactly.
We didn't say anything about why you get upset. We just said simply you get very upset.
I go, you want to really get under Eric's skin? Ask him when the schedule's coming out. And you just had this blank look on your face just now.
Freddie, Kevin's eating a bagel and some grapes, if you'd like.
So that explains why I got the tweets yesterday.
Oh, people tweeted that to you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that would explain
it. They were asking when the schedule's
coming out. Can you eat something, right? These people always sell us out and tweet him something.
Well, they didn't say you guys said
did
to
you
say
answer
it,
them?
But
did you answer them?
Yeah,
snippily.
Did it start with
yeah?
Same as it always does.
Same as every year.
I told you. He can't just say April before the draft. Same as it always is.
It's
April around the draft.
A-hole. I mean, it never changes. It's like the combine. It never changes. It's always the last week of February. The schedule is always early to mid-April. The season always kicks off the week after Labor Day. I mean, things in the NFL, some things don't change.
Who was that emailer? That last one, did you already delete it?
Somebody from West Virginia.
Thank you, somebody from West Virginia. Because
you're
that's
big in West Virginia.
Yeah, no, because that's exactly how I feel about Manning. Just because I think Brady's better doesn't mean I think Manning's a choking dog like everybody else does.
It always seems,
but I think Brady's better.
You know, in these discussions. It's always if you like one guy, you don't like the other.
It's unbelievable.
That's not the case. You know?
And because
I like
defend
Bledsoe and I like Brady.
But and because I defend Manning, it means that I'm somehow taking Brady down a notch. I think Brady's the best. Like they asked me, do you think Brady's Manning's clutch? I said, yeah. I go, he's not clutch like Brady is. Brady doesn't have the meltdowns, you know, that Manning has a couple of, but I've seen Manning very good in the clutch before.
Right. Is he more clutch than Matt Schaub?
Yeah. I mean, it's all relative. You know, and then they go through this whole thing yesterday. This was great. They go through this whole thing. Manning's, and I don't know the exact numbers, but Manning's career passer rating is like 95 and change. And in the playoffs, it's 88 and change. So that means he's a choker. So then, like, literally 30 seconds later, Maz goes, well, in fairness, Brady's passer rating is 96 and change, and in the playoffs, it's 89 and change. Same gap. They basically have the same passer rating all time in the regular season and in the postseason, and the difference is the same. But Manning is a choking dog, and Brady is the ultimate winner.
Wouldn't all, like, passer ratings
probably
go
down a little?
I mean,
sure.
You play better
this
teams.
All started.
It's not against, you know, you don't get to put 59 up against the Titans.
Exactly.
Right.
And this all started because they were saying how Brett
Favre.
It's not
that hard to look beyond the statistics.
Well, they were saying how a guy called in, I guess Felger was comparing Manning to Brett Favre, you know, because you know how he hates Brett Favre. So a guy writes in and says, well, that's disrespectful to Favre. His passer rating is this, and there's really no difference. It goes down like a point or two. Yeah, well, he's not as good as those two guys, so his passer rating was a little bit lower to start with. And
he's not as consistent.
He makes the same mistakes in the regular season. Right. That doesn't mean he's good just because he makes the same mistakes. No, when you're playing against better teams, you can get exposed. And sometimes that happens. Just because Favre is always exposed against good, bad, or indifferent doesn't mean that they're better than that. Favre is better than Brady and Manning.
His mistakes at times are self-inflicted, whereas Manning and Brady's, for most part, it's the tightening of the coverage, it's tighter windows, it's harder to do. They don't make mistakes against crappy players because they're really good.
Right. Well, it's like, you know, some
defenses play a little tighter or allow to play tighter.
Whereas Favre is going to throw across his body and I'm going to sing it in there against everybody.
Right.
And you're going to have this thing that you have going into a game. And that whatever the idea is, like this past game, Manning was going to lose because it was cold. Right? And that's a lot of people, you know, Manning in the cold. Well, they played whatever it was, 75 plus 76 minutes of football, and he wasn't affected by the cold until his last throw. But, see, I told you, you know, Manning in the cold.
Right.
And I don't think that throw had anything to do with cold. It was a dumb play.
Yeah.
It was a dumb play, and he threw it way behind his receiver. But you can't tell me the rest of the game he was affected by the cold. But that's what we thought going in, so we got to stay with it.
Right.
That's the kind of stuff that drives me crazy.
508-298-0398, Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Ken in Canton, Massachusetts. Hey, Ken.
How are you doing, guys? Listen, one of the problems of waiting online 20 minutes is that your list of things you want to talk about grows exponentially.
Okay, well,
what do you got, Ken?
The forum is yours.
Okay, let me talk. One thing, I need Paul when he goes on Felger. Yesterday, I just caught it for 1 second, and it made me hate the fact that I switched the channel to them. They had Diossi on, and he asked the question, you know, commenting on, I think it was Dan Fouts who said Brady is a protected quarterback. And they asked Diossi, do you think he's a protected quarterback? And Diossi said, of course he is. And that just drove me nuts because the facts just don't apply. And I'm going to give you some facts, and you can use them with them, Paul.
Before you give me the facts, Ken, can I just ask you, what does he mean by a protected quarterback? Because I don't really know what that means.
Well, Fouts was basically saying that Brady, that, you know, all quarterbacks are protected, quote-unquote protected, just by the nature of the rules nowadays.
Oh.
But what he was implying was Brady is protected more than the average quarterback. And the fact of the matter is that this year, Brady has gotten two roughing the passer flags, which puts him, I think, like 14th in the league, tied for 14th with, you know, 15 other guys. And over the last 3 years, he's had a total of 5 roughing the passer flags, which puts him the 4th least protected quarterback in the NFL.
Well, not necessarily.
Pardon?
How many times should they have been called for roughing the passer?
Oh, I have no idea.
Well, but I mean, like, you know,
90% of the ones that I see thrown, I object to even when they are Brady.
Right. So if all five of the ones that were thrown on Brady weren't roughing the passer, but they got called, then maybe he is more protected than other guys. Now, I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying off the top of my head.
That is philosophically illogical, what you just said. You're just assuming. You're just fluffing.
Uh-oh. No. Ken, you didn't listen to me. Ken, hold on a second. Hold on. You have plenty of time. We have plenty of time. Hold on a second. I didn't say that was the case. I said maybe they are. Like, there's a guy who could be constantly under pressure, and he has 7 roughing the passer calls, but he gets hit 5 times as often as Brady or Manning. Does he get protected more than Brady or Manning because he has 7 roughing the passers? No, he gets hit a lot more, and he got roughing the passer called more. I don't think that the amount of times you get called for roughing the passer is an indication of how you're protected.
I think it's a huge indication.
Okay, well, I disagree.
They all got hit, and there's factual evidence that belies the comment. I'm just trying to write a myth.
Brady gets sacked far less than most quarterbacks in football. Would you agree with that?
Sacked, yes.
Right.
No, a hit, he's pretty average. And the O line has been pretty average. I think they were 16th in pass protection, according to some some rating bureau. At any rate, the next thing was Dable. I think one of the things I thought was interesting about Dable was the Pats have probably the smallest assistant coaching group.
Yes.
In the entire league. So hiring another guy is, in my mind, is not a bad thing. But he didn't have great success as offensive coordinator. But I noticed that when he was in Miami and Cleveland, and in Kansas City, Bush, Hillis, and Charles, that's the guy, and Charles had great years. And I just wonder if he isn't being brought in, not for this next 2 weeks, but essentially to come in and help Josh
running game coordinator.
Yeah, the guy who can bring out the most, because we got some pretty good backs, and who will take a bigger thing. And I'm Manning. I think you're right, Paul, that Manning is a great quarterback, but I get upset when he's mentioned in the same breath as Tom Brady. Yeah. And the stat that has always gotten me. That I use with Manningites, who have no defense for it, is the fact that Tom Brady has more years going to Super Bowls than Peyton Manning has years that he's won a playoff game.
Yeah, I think Brady's better.
You don't have to sell me. Not even I know, and I think that's a bad rap to get.
Because those two idiots put words in my mouth.
Tony Mazzarotti makes me ashamed, almost as ashamed to be a Tufts grad as Andy.
Hey, screw you. That's illogical to say something like that.
You just woke Ken Andy up.
He just shot to the top of my all-time list. Kenneth Canton for president.
Thanks,
baby.
Ken. Thanks for the call.
You old coot.
He makes me as ashamed to be a Tufts grad as Andy.
Wonder what John Tomasi does.
That's a great line.
Good
right
call.
There.
I thought, Paul, though, you were going to really go at him.
No. Yeah, I was disappointed.
Yeah.
If it had been a woman, you would have attacked her.
Shut up. We were having a discussion.
Dominic writes in, huge pass
Never
fan.
Lost my
Love
cool.
your show.
Not even
Just
a
wondering
little.
How you guys feel about the pass rush going into Sunday. I know it's going to be important to get pressure on Flacco early and help out our secondary with hurried passes. I'm a little nervous, being that we didn't get much pressure on Schaub last week. Wondering what you think.
Yeah, I agree.
We didn't get much pressure on anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, you take out the 7-sack game to end the season. Really, it hasn't been very good.
Don't you think, though, that they probably won't blitz much at all in this game because Rice?
I think they'll take their shots in the red zone, third down in the red zone.
They probably do some blitzing.
Yeah.
I don't think they can afford not to.
And, I mean, if you can time it on the plays where they're looking to hit a shot play and you blitz, obviously, as Bill says, takes a little time for those balls down the field to develop.
I mean,
you might get fortunate.
As we saw in week 3, right? That's when they played Baltimore. Week 3, Flacco had all day to throw, and he picked them apart.
Yeah, they didn't blitz very much that night.
No.
David from Denver, am I the only one who's very concerned about Fonzie Dennard not practicing today? The storyline seems to get brushed under the rug, but I think that his presence is huge component of why our defense has been clicking. Just look at the end of the season when he was injured and McCourty had to move back to safety. If he moves back to corner with Fonzie hurt, I'm almost certain he will get burned on the deep ball versus ball. I mean, he means when McCourty got moved to corner.
Howe tweeted, gotten word that Dennard's absence is nothing to be too concerned about.
Okay.
Just an FYI.
You just got a word.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, and it doesn't mean he's right.
Yeah, but. And the other thing is it's not being swept under the rug. We've known about it for about an hour.
Right. And there's, yeah. I mean, there's yeah. not much you can – he may not be hurt.
Yeah.
He wasn't right. hurt at
well,
the game.
I think what he's saying it was got swept under the rug was all season the contribution of Dennard contributing to the better play of the defense.
I would definitely disagree with that because I think that was the key. Yeah. I think that's
– Or one of them.
With Tlaib and Dennard allowing Arrington to go inside and McCourty to go to safety, I think has been the biggest key.
Right. Well, he agrees, but he thinks it's being swept under the rug.
Yeah, but
I don't know if the timing of this is related at all, but didn't he have his legal proceedings pushed to either January or February from earlier in the season?
He did. Yeah. I thought they got pushed even further, though.
Did they?
I mean, I guess this could be.
I don't know if this has anything to do with that. Maybe that's the word that he
got. Don't we just say, listen, we're still playing?
Yeah.
We'll get to you later.
I think most people kind of control it. If you have a decent lawyer and a reason, they put those things off all the time.
Mm. But it could be, Eric.
So maybe that's why Jeff is saying there's nothing to worry about. I don't know.
He might have had to appear somewhere today.
Yeah, if you put it off once,
well, I think if Jeff knew that, he would have tweeted that. I think he was told by somebody here, a source, don't worry about it.
No, I'll bet you that if he knew that, he may not have tweeted. Say, hey, keep it under the rug, but this...
No,
you know.
No chance.
That's public record, though.
Yeah, that's public.
Well, eventually.
You don't say the source said it, then you do a little research and say, oh, yeah, he has a court date today.
Yeah.
So I don't think he knows that.
Okay. All right, well, it's 2 o'clock, and guess what? Kerry Byrne is here from Cold Hard Football Facts. He's going to be doing a show a couple hours early. Hey, Kerry.
Gentlemen, how you doing?
Good. How are you feeling about this game? Do you get into, like, I know on Cold Hard Football Facts, you're talking about real stats. You don't get into point spreads, but were you a little...
Sometimes we do, Fred. Okay. We get into all of that, you know.
Were you a little surprised at the point spread that opened up for this game?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what you find? You do find historically... inflated point spreads in the postseason because what happens is I think the you get the kind of the below the radar screen football fan who maybe is not as in tune with the game as the week in and week out football fan. And what happens more, public perception, I think, becomes more important in the postseason. Just look at Super Bowls. It's the two best teams, and sometimes you get the biggest point spreads year after year.
Yeah, so I also think you get situations like on Sunday where instead of folding the tent the way Kubiak did in the regular season and calling it a day, you don't do that in the postseason, and you go for a fourth down from your own 25, which leads to 7 points. You onside kick in the middle of the fourth quarter, which led to 3 more points. And all of a sudden, the point totals add up a little bit, and I think that it's harder to get a gauge.
If you're Vegas and you're trying to take advantage of the sucker.
I think that's what they're doing. That's what I was kind of saying. Not so eloquently, Fred.
But then in this case, they'd be trying to take advantage of the Baltimore sucker because they made it so wide.
But I think because it's Tom Brady, it's the New England Patriots, it's at home, it's the evil empire, it's the thing that everyone fears. It's you know, the best home record in the history of football in the playoffs at 14-3, even better than the famous Packers at Lambeau Field. So it's a scary.
They're not that famous to Fred. He didn't think they were very good.
But if you're an outsider and you just know Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, New England Patriots, it sounds imposing to most of the nation, and maybe here. At Gillette, we don't see it as much as the outsider does. How kind of intimidating the Patriots kind of seem to the rest of the country.
More importantly, why did you bring in food?
I did, but not enough for you, Paul.
Never enough for Paul.
That's true.
All right, Kerry. Well, have a good show. Cold Hard Football Facts is up next. As for us, we'll be back tomorrow, big day Thursday with our picks, and I think we know what everyone's picking, including Eric. So we'll be back tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.